Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 184. 184 of these. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Rich.
Dave.
Josh.
Pat.
Adam.
Little different seating arrangement, only because so many collections have come in the last week and a half that I just have boxes everywhere.
That's feng shui.
And trying to...
neat and tidy.
It's always just neat and tidy. We have boxes where we normally put the table, so we had to shift a little so people might sound a little bit off. Like, Rich is about a mile and a half away from the microphone. Luckily, Adam, we moved away from the microphone, so you're welcome.
Maybe a good thing.
Whatever, right by the power cord, so.
Sorry.
Can't silence your phone, boss?
Yeah.
Editor-in-chief of Oni Press tweeting me, okay?
Oni Press?
Wow. It's these connections I'm making, man. That's what keeps the store going. That's why I can get more of this book that I sold out of. Okay.
Is that what he was responding to?
No, not at all. He was talking about the 1 in 5,000 variants and saying he envies us retailers for having to figure out how to order them. And I just basically said, no, we just look at it, laugh, and move on. I said that's not a problem at all. I actually have a lot to talk about, but I figure we'll start with Pat's news. And then I have a lot of discussion points.
That's okay.
I want Pat to go.
There's only really one that I think we're going to have overlap. So I'll get that. No, I'll do that one last.
Let me see what Mr. Jones has to say.
Name dropper.
I know.
You didn't remember, is it?
All right, Kanye. Wait, he's from Chicago. Kanye's from Chicago.
Colin McMahon, the Kanye West of McMurray.
Are you saying that Colin and Kanye are very similar first parts of their names?
Yep.
Are you saying they're the same person? Disguise.
I've never heard Colin bust a rhyme, but you know. Can you sing Gold Digger for us?
No.
Had to ask.
Yes, that's part of the disguise, though.
I got to, yeah. Okay, so the first thing was, a few months ago we talked that there was a rumored Mockingbird show that was going to be a spinoff of S.H.I.E.L.D. that they canceled.
Good.
Well, now they apparently uncanceled it. At this point it's just ordered to pilot, and, you know, if it doesn't do well, then they'll probably have it as an episode of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s regular. I think that... S.H.I.E.L.D.'s not a great show to begin with, and Mockingbird is probably the best character they have
about?
On there.
So S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gotham are the best shows on TV.
I like Gotham. I don't care what you say.
Gotham's terrible.
Gotham is not terrible.
It is terrible.
I wouldn't go terrible.
You want to like Gotham.
It's not like my favorite comic book show, but I wouldn't say terrible. I still like it. I'll watch it.
They cast Belladonna in Gambit, and it's a French actress, Léa Seydoux. Who I have no idea what she's ever been.
Is anybody interested?
You know, it's funny. It's making me feel very, very old when they announce all these people, and I have no idea who anybody is anymore.
She's a French actress, and I don't watch a lot of French movies. So.
No, I mean, maybe I am old, but it just I hear all these names, and I just go, I have no clue who any of these people are.
It
doesn't really bother me.
What are we going to do about this?
Well, at his age, he forgets anyway. So.
But I'll find a way to de-age him.
But I'll...
Euthanize me.
Okay.
You're on like, two ends of the spectrum, though. Like, you have...
too old to be any good, but too young for Social Security?
You know the things that you grew up with.
Right.
But then also, you know these things that are... that no one, even like in their 20s, would know about because of your daughter. Like you were talking about how you had to have that musician's favorite meal three times.
And then one day you said cray cray, and I was just like,
"You said cray cray?"
You said no.
That's cray cray.
You said something that made Brian want to punch you. I forget what it was. Wickety whack.
Wickety whack.
Yeah, he literally reached to his arm back.
I said, it's wickety whack or something.
Yeah, he was going to take you out.
But you said whack. You started it.
I could appreciate wickety whack.
Wickety whack. If you're going to say whack, you might as well go to the old wickety.
This conversation
Pat's news.
Crazy, yeah.
Pat, what were you talking about? How did that lead? I'm trying to follow back.
Because you didn't know. No, you
Well, of course the Shields. Well, did you talk about the Inhuman they're bringing in?
No.
Yes, that was today. No. A former NFL player is going in as Lash, I think.
Flash, yeah.
Yeah, is one of the new Inhumans. He's going to be on the new season.
I don't know any Inhumans other than Black Bolt and Lockjaw, so...
Medusa, you know Gorgon, you know Triton.
Karnak.
You know, not Mad Max. What's his name?
You got Mad Max on the mind?
No. His Black Bolt's brother. Maximus the Mad. Okay, I wasn't that far off. Okay.
Okay.
You want his fancy.
I know a handful. And Quake, of course.
Right. No, no. Yeah, Quake.
Quake,
and,
I guess. She was,
and there's the new one, the guy that's on fire. Was it Inferno or something?
The Human Torch?
Can I just say that Quake wasn't really...
I like the new Killer Instinct.
Yeah.
That's my only problem.
Yeah, we can't argue. Inferno.
Of course you did.
Who was the guy in the latest season? I only saw part of the episode where he drops his jaw and he just screams.
That was Angar the Screamer. Duh. He's from the 70s. Come on.
Of course, Angar.
Everybody knows Angar the Screamer. They only use A-list characters on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Because
he
starts with an A.
Yeah, they use an A. They use A-list.
Angar the Screamer.
The Absorbing Man was on, too.
Yeah.
There you go. We got it.
And he got name-checked on Daredevil, so you know.
Yeah. Elektra A. Yeah, there you go.
Elektra A. You spell better than
Elektra.
Me.
My daughter would spell better.
Elektra.
She would. She was typing. It was so funny.
She'd be listening to this right now.
Because they use
the back room.
Because they're too young to have their own Apple accounts, they use mine. So now, of course, on the computer here, I get all their texts and see it up in the corner. And my wife was asking what they wanted to do since they go back to school on Monday, what they want to do this weekend, you know, something last time. And she was asking if they could go up to Erie. But she was spelling it E-E-I-R-E. And I'm just like, it's fairly prophetic, you know, and correct, but just kind of funny.
Unless she was wanting to go to Erie, Indiana or something. No. That was spelled like that.
I really don't think so, because that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But sure, okay.
Oh, but it's Adam, so.
She could have.
How did we get on this subject?
I don't know.
Wickety-whack. You talk about She.
Adam went all wickety-whack.
Moving on. A couple things that they're doing on Flash for this season. It seems like Flash is going to, its cast is going to grow quite a bit. Tokamak. Jesse. Who is supposed to be a Firestorm villain is going to end up on The Flash, which hopefully that means we'll see some more Firestorm, but I thought that that wasn't going to be the case because of Legends of Tomorrow. Who knows? And then Jesse
Quick. There's no rules, man. There's no rules.
There's rules. There's rules. And then Jesse Quick is supposed to show up at some point. So, yeah, there's... they're kind of busting out all the speedsters, and you know, they're not holding anything back on that show. And the last thing I had that came out today, and I'm sure you're going to want to talk about this, Colin.
What?
Is Marvel announced that Secret Wars.
Oh, we'll get to that.
The eight-issue extravaganza.
He's telling you to jump the gun.
Yeah, slow down. Slow down there. Okay.
You should be prepared. Want to steal your thunder on
that one. No, I do want to steal your thunder on that one, yes. Because that's my thunder to steal.
Go ahead, Colin.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to talk about that just yet, because I have some other cool stuff to talk about first.
Okay.
Look, I have notes.
Go ahead.
Notes, only a couple doodles. There's only a couple noodles, and I already came up with the title. A couple doodles. I have the eight books I read listed. See, we're getting there. So, what?
Cup of noodles.
He said, where's the cup of noodles? I'm showing him. You had it for lunch today, didn't you?
No, I did not. See, that's why I was so hungry. That was my only meal of the day.
It was a cup of noodles.
No,
brisket.
Brisket. Come on, man.
What are you going to make?
Wake up. Tomorrow.
What's all this talking about? Couple noodles.
You said you had a couple.
Are we getting paid for product placement?
Yeah.
Cup of noodles.
That'd be awesome. Where's my case of Kraken?
We have sponsors.
That should have been here by now.
Get a delivery tomorrow, cup of noodles?
No, I'd rather have the Kraken.
We didn't talk about that.
So, news. So. September 5th is a really important day here. You're probably thinking, why? Well, because 9 years ago, that was the Tuesday after Labor Day, and that was the day I opened. So we're coming up on 9 years, which kind of surprised me. It's not surprised me, but it's one of those, holy crap, that's coming soon. So 9/5 is a little too soon, being next Saturday. So on 9/12, we're going to have an anniversary party. So it's a Saturday, so if you can come by, hopefully if I get organized enough, I'll have cake or something of the like. We'll have some sort of big sale, big celebration. So 9/12, it's a Saturday, so if you can't, come down. Also, there was something that was announced this week. It's something Comics Pro has been working on a while, and they talked about it out in San Diego, and they finally pulled the trigger on it. And it's an event called Local Comic Book Day. And basically, there's a thing called Record Store Day, where they kind of took Free Comic Book Day and twisted it, where it's not so much free comics, but what they do, it's limited edition records that they put out where the stores can only get a few, and it's to drive business in, create some collectibles, and just make it kind of an event. So what Comics Pro has been talking about this for a while and has decided to finally pull the trigger on it, and we'll see how it goes, is Local Comic Book Day. And basically what it's going to do is a lot of, looks like all the publishers are interested in doing it, and we're hoping they do more than just like variant cover comics. Just in as an example, and this certainly isn't anything that's coming, but it was one of the example type things that someone threw out to someone who was going, you know, why would I want to get involved? It was something like a hardcover Walking Dead compendium for, say, $100, which is more than the regular one, but still something that would be sought after, and something, you know, people would come to the store to get. It's going to be on Black Friday, which... I see why they did it. I understand rather than doing it just a random weekend, do it at a time at a holiday when people are shopping, because maybe, gosh, I heard there's this hardcover. I'd like to get it for my brother. So that type of thing.
The one thing in being a transplant, mm-hmm. I don't stay local usually on Thanksgiving. I travel.
Okay.
There's going to be other people. You know, a lot of people travel over that weekend, so for it to be local comic book shop, a lot of people won't be in their local comic
shop. Gotcha,
shops.
But what it is, it's the basic of the idea between local comic shop day is it's not online. You can't get these things online.
This,
and
it's more of to bring in, like you have something that other places want.
Right, that's the thing,
so
to give
like,
us something
you
need.
That, and you could get, actually, by not having like people visiting this area... might come to your store looking for that as
maybe. And the idea behind it is more of like gifts, and you know, people are already out spending money, that why not take advantage of that? So that's the idea behind that. So that was just announced, so we'll see where it goes from that. Right now, so far, I think they announced Oni was the first.
Is that what
No, I was talking to him about variants. He was talking about the 1 in 5,000 variant, and I said that's
like,
all.
Quit, now would you only be selling those things that day?
Yes. Well, until they sold out. And then you can put them on, I think it said something about putting it on eBay 30 days after or something. You wouldn't be able to do that until
that's
that.
I mean, like if you, the day comes and goes, you don't sell out.
You could sell it after. Yes. Yeah, so, but it's just really in its infancy, so we'll see where that's going, but that was something that was announced this week.
But then I could buy it and sell it on eBay.
Absolutely.
Or
absolutely, and I'm sure that happens.
Get a hold of for you.
But I bet that also happens on Record Store Day, where that stuff, you know, you see that stuff going for
big
dollars.
Please hold a compendium for Pat and hope that
But see, right, we'll see. We'll see what's going on. But, so that's that. Like I said, lot more details will come out, but that was just announced. Then getting back to Pat, the Secret Wars #9. I enjoyed that at 10:15 this morning. I got the press release in my inbox.
#9 of 8.
Where they said they're thrilled to be able to do this, to add to it, and then also my favorite part of it, because I had just been talking with people about this yesterday, about the chance of Secret Wars not finishing before All New, All Different, and then they announced Secret Wars 9 was coming in December, with All New, All Different beginning on October 7th. And since technically it's spinning out of the events of Secret Wars, because it has to since the Marvel Universe ended, but then everything is occurring 8 months later, it's still going to be really...
It's either going to give it away or it's...
Yeah, or it's just going to be confusing.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's the scary thing. But it is kind of funny, the reaction, especially from retailers, was just kind of like, are you serious? You know,
real?
Yeah, well, just kind of, you know, it's the never-ending event. Even
is
though
actually going to be like part of the story, though, or just like an epilogue?
My guess is it's going to be part of the story. Wow. You know, they said 8 issues was not enough to contain it. You know, all the standard hyperbole.
Except for all the crap filler that they had in the first couple issues, it could have been cut out.
And even the last one really had a lot of. It was a lot of recap.
Yeah, well, yeah, and they did draw out some stuff a little bit.
But yeah, my thought is Hickman, I'm sure, just the way he does things, probably had it this pretty well spaced out and Or is, you know, is it going to be filler? Is it just going to be, oh, now we can bloat the last couple issues right. a little yeah. bit?
Well, maybe that's what it was. They had a couple really cool splash pages that they want to throw in there, and like, okay, well, all of a sudden now we got to.
I kind of doubt that, only in being that the artist is 6 weeks behind at he's doing extra splash pages. I'd hope he's
maybe
not doing extra
splash pages.
Maybe
that's why he's 6 weeks behind.
So that was kind of funny to see, just knowing the chaos that this is going to have and how we're going to have number threes coming out at the same time as.
Hey, it'll be ready for local comic book store day.
Does it it'll be after, actually.
How good does it feel to be right?
You know, that was what some, because I was just talking with somebody about that. There was the next thing I'm going to talk about, they had posted on my Facebook page, like to me, so I don't even know if you guys can see those, but it was like a post on my wall. Mm-hmm. About it, and I said, you know, there's a 99% chance this is not going to finish on time. Just looking at the dates, you know, they'd have to have them come out weekly here at the end, yeah. and I just didn't see that happening. And one guy said, look, you were right, and so I posted back, win, with a question mark, you know, because is it really a win? I was right, but I didn't want to be right. I want this to be done, and then we can all move on to the next thing instead of having two events, even though they're not calling it a reboot or whatever it is. It's still technically an event. You know, it's something they're making a big deal of.
Yeah, doesn't Marvel have to, like, start, you know, marketing for its summer event, like, next week?
Well, they will. But, yeah, so it's, yeah, everything's just really in flux. Kind of like nobody really is anybody in charge is where we're kind of back to. You know, it just, oh, well, what are we going to do? I don't know. Add another issue. Really? Is that was that a viable solution to this? They'll make it work. They'll sell a lot. But my other concern is once October hits and all the new books are coming out, are people going to stick with the Secret Wars? Because now my guess is if this is going to stretch out through December, where the chances a lot of the other tie-ins are now are going to slip yeah. and be late. And it gives them two more months to come out with that stuff where it's technically not late because
yeah.
the main event is still going on. But the
I have to think they want to get those books on the shelf and selling them.
I already ordered all the trades, you know, and now I have to order another issue, you know. And in this previews has that Secret Wars 2, T-O-O, which is spoofing. It's like, is that going to come out before the event's done? But then my concern is, are people, once the new number ones start coming out, are they just going to go, well, I really don't care how it ends. And the last issue is probably yeah. going to be $5-6 and, you know, the way Marvel goes, you know, I can forego that money and keep going with this. Well, then I'm having to order, you know, I order based on how the last one sold. I can't, you know, it's very hard to predict that the next one is going to sell X amount less.
Yeah.
You don't, you know, that's, it's, you almost have to, but not something you want to do. So, there was that. Now, the other thing, two more things I want to talk about. The one article that somebody posted, but two people actually posted, it was kind of funny. It was about Bleeding Cool did a story about DC's woes, saying that they lost $2 million between sales less than they had hoped, and the moving expenses of moving the company were higher than they expected. Moving expenses being higher, I don't think should have been
anyone
a real shot.
Moves, we'd know that
right.
that happened.
And the fact that this book's underperformed, I don't think should be a huge shock either. Only in the sense, you know, Convergence maybe didn't do as well as they expected. Well, it, you know, no one knew what it was. Nobody, yeah. you know, it was hard to get excited about something that basically when they announced was just filler. And then they tried to make a big deal of it, but and in the end it was just filler.
Yeah, it wasn't
great. And maybe, you know, some of the new books maybe aren't doing as well as they had hoped, but, you know, how well did they think Prez was going to do? How well did they think Omega Men? No, I think it is great. I'm the one that's yelling at you guys to read it. But, you know, Omega Men, you know, did they really think that was going to be a top 10 book? You know,
it's a catch on too, because they got crap for not having, you know, this diverse line.
Oh, absolutely. Yet. No, I think they need the diverse line, but I think
before.
They can't be
and,
disappointed.
No, and then people don't buy it, but then people right. give them a hard time when right. they get back to the status
yeah.
quo. It's like,
yeah.
what do you
oh, another it? Batman book. Well, they tried. And, but that's the same thing with the New 52 when it was.
But you had G.I. Yep. Zombie, and you had, what was the other real, I mean, there was like four or five real crazy titles. Clarion, you're like, I yeah. don't really want to read that, but the option is you have 9 Batman books, or you cut it back, yeah. you have 6 Batman books, which, by the way, all 9 Batman books would sell, and then you have have you seen books to read?
Yeah.
Actually, so, they're the most diverse with their books, with the ideas that they bring out of characters.
They are.
Like, we have Prez.
Well, I don't know.
Like, are you expecting? I mean, that's pretty diverse.
I don't know. I feel like their line right now is has something for everyone.
I think it's more diverse than 52.
There's a lot of really good books
out
there, and it's kind of disappointing to hear that people aren't giving them a shot.
I think it was more diverse when New 52 came out, but like Pat said, you know, I think it was you who just said that we give them that, and then they get nobody wants it. Nobody's really wanting
it. Don't
they say they want
it,
but they don't want it.
Yeah.
And then we end up with how many Batman books and how many Superman books.
I'm enjoying these books. I don't want to see it go back to the point in you know, 8 months where
that didn't
it's
help
just
them either.
The same old again.
Yeah.
Same old.
No, and so and basically that's what I said. I doubt they're ready to, you know, I'm seeing comments, oh, Disney's going under and stuff. It's like, I really doubt that because...
Abandonship, Warner Brothers is selling everything.
Do these people want that exactly? Do they want them to go out of business? Because it sounds like, why would you want
In a
that?
Sense, you kind of, you know, there's, a, well, again, it's internet commenters. You know, the people saying
but
positive
still,
things aren't posting anything because...
Right.
Well, the other thing I got to wonder, if you remember... the Batman Superman movie was also supposed to come out this year, and then that got delayed till March, and that could have been part of their projection, too. I don't know when this projection originally came out, where they said, oh, they lost money.
It was supposed to come out in December, though, wasn't it? So that wouldn't be a factor.
Yeah.
Was it? So, I thought it was supposed to be before that.
I thought it was December, and then when it was going to be going up against Star Wars, it got pushed back to March.
And
it was May, and then it got pushed off May, because it was supposed to go head-to-head with Civil War on Free Comic Book Weekend. Yeah.
And then between the two articles that were posted, both were not Bleeding Cool, but referencing the Bleeding Cool article. One was saying the only way they can save themselves is do a full Marvel, relaunching every 6 months and variants and stuff. And I'm like, I realize you think Marvel is strong right now. Marvel's not strong.
Yeah.
Marvel's very precarious for a couple of reasons that I'll get to here.
Well, they're fed by the propaganda machine.
And... the other one did kind of acknowledge that. And I'm seeing something, I'm coming up on 9 years, and I have never seen this before, where Marvel is getting a lot of backlash from retailers publicly online. Typically, it's been Marvel's great, DC sucks, and DC's doing everything they can, and Marvel, no matter what happens, oh, it's going to sell great. Oh, these variants, oh, you got to order all this. Well, that's going to be great. I'll have all this to sell. And this, for the very first time, I'm seeing retailers coming out saying things negatively about Marvel publicly.
There's 164 variants. You can't sell them.
Well, that's the big thing. It's not just the variants, but it's the requirements for the variants. I enjoyed very much, I think it was yesterday, Agent M, who's the social media guy at Marvel, posted... a checklist of all the hip-hop variants, saying, you know, fans, print this out and take it down to your store to get these hip-hop variants that, you know, let your stores know which ones you want. And this guy, who's a Comics Pro member, Strange Adventures out in, I want to say British Columbia, mocked it up and put the ordering requirements for each of the variants with a line going to it, saying your store has to order 150% of a previous issue of this book to order this, and did it, and retweeted it back at Agent M saying, here, I fixed that for you. Please retweet.
Wow.
And it was, you know, pretty bold, but it was, there was nothing, there was no opinion. There was no, you know, it was just, here's the facts.
Yeah.
And, you know, I commented on a Beat article and Brian Hibbs commented after saying he had no problem with it, but I have a lot of problem with it. The one he said was okay was like Spider-Man number one, you had to exceed 175% of Renew Your Vows. Okay, well, that's not that. Renew Your Vows didn't, you know, of course you didn't order Spider-Man-wise. But things like Spider-Man 2099 number one, you had to order 175% of Spider-Man 2099 number 12, which was the last issue. Well, who's going to order 75% more?
Of a book that didn't sell.
Well, even if it did sell... it's still 175% more of the next issue. What are the chances you're going to sell an extra 75%? Oh, and so that's just to be able to get the hip-hop.
Wasn't that around the time when they decided to mentioned the whole Secret Wars things where everything was ending anyway. So, like, did anybody, a lot of people stick with that book anyways, knowing that?
Probably not, but I mean,
Because it was very early on saying that it was going to be canceled.
And then it went through Spider-Verse, and then I think it had one issue or two issues after Spider-Verse.
I could see a lot
Spider-Verse.
Of drop on that book.
But there was an interesting comment by Patrick Brower of Challengers out in Chicago. This was on the Beat article, saying he is pushing Doctor Strange really hard because a lot of people want it, and he's over ordering it intentionally, and he's still 29 copies short of qualifying for the hip-hop variant. So he's like,
that's the chronic variant too. Doctor Dre's chronic.
But so he's like, you know, because that was exceed 200% of an issue of Ms. Marvel. Ms. Marvel was one of their surprise hits.
Yeah.
And
Doctor Strange is winning the poll, isn't it?
Last time I looked, it was, or it was tied.
But, and it was something I didn't realize until I was doing the order last week. A good number of the number ones are $4.99, not $3.99. And I'm wondering how that'll affect things, too. Well, you know, I need to order a bunch more of this variant. Oh, and by the way, it's going to cost me more.
Yeah.
I noticed in the current book, Spider-Gwen, Ms. Marvel, and Mighty Thor are all $4.99 books. So I'm just like, that is not a good way to grow your business, to try to get more readers by having number one be a $5 book. I just think that's a big misstep. And it might be thicker, whatever, that's fine. But, you know, look what Image does with their big, thick number ones, $2.99. That gets people to try them. $4.99, I think a lot of people are going to go, oh, well, I was interested, but
I might not be now. Yeah, but Marvel won't do $2.99 books because they want the digital.
No, but just do them $3.99. The fact that they're bumping their number ones all up to $4.99 is scary.
I don't disagree.
You know, it's funny because another one of the things in one of the DC things today was talking about they're changing editorial stuff. They're not going to be doing DCU anymore, and that they might raise prices. I'm like, oh my gosh! You mean they might go up to $3.99? Oh, you know, where Marvel's been $3.99 across the board for a couple of years now, and it now is creeping up to $4.99. So it's just interesting seeing a lot of backlash online. Now it's more on like message boards that I'm seeing, but seeing people actually making non-Marvel, non-positive comments towards Marvel. So that's why I'm not saying they're in trouble, but I don't think this relaunch is going to do as well as they expected.
There's only a few of the books in the relaunch here that really grabbed my attention and said, you got to read this.
But I'm looking like Extraordinary X-Men, which is kind of a mishmash team and stuff, $4.99. Yeah. And it's I think that is going to stop a lot of browsers.
I really wish they'd go back to like a classic X-Men team with, you know, Cyclops.
I've been like that for a while.
You know,
that's
even if we went back to like 90, you know, X-Men 92, where you got Cyclops and you got Nightcrawler
with
and Storm.
That,
and
Status Quo, yeah.
Yeah.
That book will sell because of the team, though. Like, I'll check out, just it's Jeff Lemire writing.
Which
writing
book is
on? Extraordinary X-Men.
Yeah. I didn't know what they were calling it exactly.
Oh, even Web Warriors. You know, one of those, how do I order this? $4.99. I just remember seeing that, just going, I just think it's a big...
Who are they trying to sell?
I think that's a mistake.
To?
I don't know. Exactly. Well, that's the
because
team from Spider-Verse.
Yeah, but
that's
is that
Peter
what they're
Porker
calling that?
And
they
can Indian see, and
they
conceived
that name in the that Ultimate cartoon show.
Yeah.
So we have a Web Warriors book for all ages. So
that
that's why I'm asking
sense,
why.
Yeah.
I mean, we have that here. Why? What exactly are they trying to get on this? If they're not selling it to that age group, why are they calling it Web Warriors? What would be the point? You go out Spider-Verse, and then those people already know it by that name. They'd probably buy it off of that name, let alone Web Warriors. Yeah, I don't get it. Did you mention so that crazy. Other variant, the whole candy variant?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, there's a lot of hoopla about, in the new book, there's a 1 in 5,000 Jim Lee actual sketch cover that he can order on the new Batman Dark Knight Master Race. And then, so last week, Marvel... announced a 1 in 4,999 Deadpool variant, which is making fun of the Twix ads. It has Deadpool and somebody at the top and somebody selling a candy bar pushing up into the cover. But it's a 1 in 5,000 variant. It's like, why?
What book are you going to sell 5,000 copies of?
A $5 Deadpool number one.
You weren't. It was just a slap in the face.
And somebody asked me, he's like, well, I mean, how much would that be? And I said, well, you know, to be honest, I'm going to be looking at $13,000 just to get one in. So,
yeah.
Nobody's going to do it. That's why I was telling the editor of Oni. I'm like, nobody's, you know, nobody, they're looking at it, you laugh, you move on.
What's, how much would you have to sell? What's the most copies of any single title that you've ever sold?
Ooh, sold? I don't know. I'd honestly, I'd have what's to look it up. I could look it up. 500.
What was that?
Godzilla number
one. Okay, no, we don't count that. Not something like that, but
don't count Sabrina
like,
either.
Just a normal.
Got it before you know
it. It would be.
I'm guessing a Batman book or
probably Batman. It may have been Siege number one, only because. Now, here's Marvel hasn't done this in a while, and I think we're going to see a flood of them once these number ones we start putting in the final numbers on. They would used to do things where if you exceed some kind of crazy number, you get an extra 15% off. And that extra 15% could make, you know, 50 copies free, essentially. Yeah. So you could hit those crazy numbers. And I know on Siege, I know I did a crazy number to make sure that we as a whole thing qualified for the Siege party. But since then, no. So, I mean, that one might have been like 130, 150, but in the end, I'm only paying for like 60, you know, just the way those numbers work. Well, we're doing an Iron Man party where, and now it was funny, I forgot to look. They're doing a build your own Iron Man promo where with one book, you'll get the arm and another one, you'll get the part of the leg and stuff. But one of them, like, the requirement to get it was so high, it was like, well,
no one has
I
Iron
guess,
Man's head.
Yeah, no, so nobody has Iron Man's left thigh. You know, it is just, it's one of those.
Walk around funny.
Well, it's just one of those things.
Make it out of foil.
Where a lot of retailers are doing it, and I've done it for a long time, but where I look at those requirements and I just, you know, a lot of people, oh, you know, I do the calculations. I'm like, I just look at it and move on. I don't even think twice because it's not worth my time to figure out what 175% of Ms. Marvel 14 was.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm not going to bother trying to order in these variants that aren't going to sell anyway.
If you know it's a popular book, then you know you're not going to make it.
But, you know, with all these number ones, it's a lot of guessing. And that's my concern is there's all this, you know, talk and stuff. It's like we, the retailers, are going to be the ones taking the heat on this because we're going to want be the ones being stuck with a ton of extra books. I was looking as I was moving the wall. Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde, the Secret Wars tie-in. I ordered the same number of that as I did of how Star-Lord was selling right up to it. And I have like 20 extra copies. And that was a case where we had to order one and two before we saw them. You know, and I have 20 extra copies of each of one and two. What am I going to do with those? You know, they're not going to sell. You know, it's just, and that's my concern with all these new number ones. We're looking at 60, 70 different number ones from Marvel. Well, is Doctor Strange going to sell? What's it going to sell at?
Yeah.
It's all a guess for me. And then it could be a situation like Old Man Logan, which was really popular, but that was a hard one to judge because Wolverine has sold for crap since the last three relaunch new number ones. So how do you order that based on, you know, I was selling six copies of Wolverines. Do I base it on that? Do I base it on it was selling 75 during Old Man Logan? But is this really Old Man Logan? Are they just using the name like so many of the others? It's just, it's a crapshoot. And I sold out of Old Man Logan and they didn't do second prints. There's no more to be had. It's like,
when you had when you had Guardians of the Galaxy come out, did that come out after or before the movie?
Before. A long time before.
Did you get a lot of... Did you
so
get,
much that we had the trade on the shelf when the movie came out.
Did that help the sale of that book, the movie?
I sold a bunch of the first trades, and then the second trade was Angela, and nobody was interested.
I was just curious about, like, if you did do Doctor Strange and there is hype on the movie, could you order it by...
I'm ordering it to ship in October.
Yeah, but
the movie's not coming out.
So that's coming out way before.
Yeah,
well,
so there's
so
no...
Hard to,
and I can't keep them on the shelf that long.
The movie
long.
Doesn't
you know,
actually
I'm not ordering,
start shooting until this
and
November.
It's a different type of movie. Yeah. I mean, you can't really go and say, well, this audience is going to buy it just the same way, and it's not going to. That's a pain in the butt.
Ant-Man, it had no effect on my Ant-Man sales, the movie, so... Or maybe I did sell a few more, but...
Well,
you
didn't have a book to sell.
12 to 15.
That movie came out,
that's
they canceled
you didn't come, you didn't have the copy where Ant-Man fights Yellow Jacket.
Yeah.
Oh,
why
wait,
did you have that?
Actually, he fought himself a lot.
Yo, that's one thing I do have to say. So I did
The Fantastic Four book isn't on a shelf at all.
Right, well, I had to pull it because I had to make room for all the other number ones. But I did do a promotion that I'm pretty sure I posted on the website.
Yeah,
I know I posted on the website, and I've included it in every email. About double points on Fantastic Four all month long, just to, you know, come in and if you didn't like the movie, You guys are killing me. Just so you know, you're both killing me. You're both sitting there yawning the entire time, but I'm trying to talk.
Is killing me. But, you yawn and stuff.
I know.
My kids started school this week.
But just you were both doing it at the same time, and
that's,
I'm like,
that's because that's how yawning works.
Well, yeah, I mean, he gets the bus at 6:30, so I got to be up at 5:45 to get him up.
Yeah, the 7 to 3 shift, I'm getting up at 5:15 now.
I don't need to be up this early.
But, so I'm like, you know, remember how good Fantastic Four was. Come get, you know, the Hickman, get the Miller, get, you know, even the old Masterworks. Double points
come
on
anything. Come get this and wash the new stuff out of your brain.
Double points on everything Fantastic Four, and I have had zero takers.
Come on, Adam.
Dave?
You know, I'd do like, it. I so, wouldn't mind the
Dave probably has the all the stuff anyway.
I don't think the Wade runs in anymore.
But I just I thought it was funny. You know, I'm trying. You know, I tried to help.
Wade runs a good run.
There's few days left on that.
Dave actually got the movie ticket, so he burned his Fantastic Four allowance on the movie ticket. So.
Dave took the bullet for all of us.
Somebody had to do it.
Somebody did have to do it, yeah. I think it made
somebody
like,
as tough as Dave.
They made like $8 million in its second week.
Is that what it is?
What is funny, people kind of sheepishly come in and ask me if I've seen it. And when I say no, they kind of go, yeah. You know, not like, you know, they were surprised. Like, so did you see it? I'm like, no. I haven't found 3 hours I want to waste. Forget you know, getting there. And all that. So that's the end of my rant. Or not rant, but my stuff.
That's about time.
Anybody else have anything else?
I have a question about the candy variant. That, like, if the how much would you have to sell that for if you did get it? Well, what price would?
Well, my cost on it would be.
You'd only have one. So.
Right, my cost on it would be roughly $12,500.
The point.
And somebody's like, "Oh, so would you sell it for $10,000?" I'm like, "No, because then I'm still out $2,500." No, but they were just asking. They're like, "You know, what would you price that at?" I'm like, $12,500. I'm not taking a loss on something like that.
Would you sell it for less?
Right, but who would you know? Who would really?
It's not just would you sell for $2,000 less?
But you know, and who's going to buy?
You shouldn't respond. You should just give him a blank stare
like,
back.
Get out. Get out.
For you. $15,000.
Yeah, but I'm like, you know, it is going to literally be one of the rarest variants.
Do you know how many points you would have to say?
Oh, man.
How messed up would that be? Hey, I'm going to get this on points.
No! Oh, yeah.
That'd be the end of the point system. He'd just break it. He'd be like, I'm sorry, it's down.
And then Colin starts his new podcast about closing the store.
Yeah. Don't say that. Somebody will think you're telling the truth.
And he's got 9 years now.
Yeah, we have, like, journalistic integrity and stuff. Or we're supposed to. That's why he has lawyers sending him.
Did I black out and miss a few podcasts or something?
Or we're supposed to.
Oh, we're supposed to.
Supposed to. Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Yeah.
Colin wouldn't care about the points because you've already spent $1.25 million. They don't really retire, you know, the next guy.
Yeah. So that's true. The whole store couldn't pull their points together and get that variant.
Might as well get this variant. He won't merge points.
Do you know how the total of outstanding points that you have?
Oh, yeah. I could find it out real quick. I don't know it, no.
I wonder how much.
One time I did see it, and I'm like, holy crap. If all that came redeemed.
Yeah.
You know, like $9,000 or something like that. This was a while back.
One day.
But it was like, geez.
Free comic
but then,
free comic points.
I don't want to say one points. Of the benefits. It's certainly not a benefit of the point card, but it's customers who drifted away, who don't come back. I remember there's one guy who I know I haven't seen. It's at least a year. It's probably 2 years. But he was banking his points and banking and banking and banking. And he probably had $300-$400 on that card. I haven't seen him.
What's his name on his email?
They're like,
can I? So, you know, it's just things like, you know.
He's going to get the 10% off coupon.
Yeah. Well, he's probably getting those emails. But, I don't, you know, stuff happens, you know. So I'm sure there's a lot of dead points on dead cards, you know, people that aren't coming back or they lost their card, things like that.
Adam, get the list for us.
No, he doesn't know how. He has no clue. Yeah. No clue whatsoever. No. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that only I know. 99% of that store.
Modest.
No, just how on the store runs, he wouldn't know where to go to find that list.
True.
He'd have no idea. No,
of not. What?
I'd have no idea.
He would have no idea where to find it. Yeah.
So was I.
So.
Is that all Pat's news?
That's all Pat's kinda. News and Colin's.
You took up all your news?
Colin's
that's
ramblings.
Okay. You can't add anything? There's nothing to add?
No, nothing new to add.
News was like an hour. What more do you want?
I know.
No, it was Pat's news. I guess that was just Colin.
Do you have any news to add? No. Anything?
No. Nothing? I'm sad about it.
Work harder next time. Do you have notes? I have notes.
I forgot. Well,
first time in ages I've had notes.
Just do everything.
I like how you're fitting your little square drawing. I am. There somewhere. I'm you're just
in.
Like, where's the spot?
You have to draw. You know the amazing thing? You know what I can do?
Smaller now.
You know what I can do?
What?
I can turn the page.
No, you can't.
I got a full clean. No, look at that. Clean sheet right there.
All right, Bob Seger.
So, okay. Did you guys hear the rumors with Man of Steel 2 that it might be... like permanently.
Yeah, I heard that.
I heard permanently shelved, but then I also heard that George Miller
might direct it.
That'd be awesome. I just watched Mad Max yesterday morning. It was awesome. Not the new one, the old one.
I could see them like still having him direct one of their movies, if it's not that. But I thought they had already announced Man of Steel 2 like, to come up at the tail end of the whole
they did.
I think it was on the schedule, but I guess it all depends. You know, has Batman versus Superman morphed so much that it's not what they originally envisioned? And how do you follow it up? You know, is it going to end in such a way, or does it end such a way that it leads right into Justice League and not necessarily a separate Batman movie?
That's what it's supposed to do. Is you have that, and then they announce there's going to be the Batman movie that Affleck is going to direct and star in. You know, that's the thing. And even with Marvel, you know, they got movies announced out to 2020.
They're not all necessarily going to get made, too.
I find it hard to believe that they wouldn't put out a sequel after they had the original movie, and then
they might announce it after, you know, and it might be something about, you know, in the aftermath of Justice League, or maybe they want to wait to see what the reception is.
And the other thing is, why paint yourself into a corner already? Why announce a date and director and all this stuff if, you know, you're not sure what you want to do? There's no rush, you know, Marvel's trying to take every good date from now through, you know, 2050.
But that's just it. I mean, I think if DC said the Justice League movie's coming out, it's coming out on, you know, the Friday before Free Comic Book Day, Darkseid's the villain.
Yeah,
I was just thinking they have the Infinity Gauntlet split into two movies, and I can definitely see them going, yeah, well, we're going to make it into a third movie now because two movies can't hold the story, you know, and extended another year and put all the other movies on hold for that year. Yeah,
Harry Potter did that. He screwed that up.
They did that,
yeah. And there's some books where that kind of worked.
Yeah.
And so, like, the last
that book wasn't that long.
There was a natural break point that you can do that in, but like they did that with the Hunger Games movie, and like nothing happened in the first half of the book to begin with, and there's no natural break point. We're just going to create one.
Yeah. So I'm not a Harry Potter fan. My brother is, so I saw a couple of movies with him, and I saw the Part One movie. Was that Deathly Hallows? That was a boring ass movie.
It was weird to be broken in half.
Yeah, yeah. The second something exciting started to happen, it's like credits.
Yeah.
See it for part two.
Yeah,
I'm sitting.
It was
like
a lot of running around throughout the first part of the movie, and the second part of the movie was just the war,
it was the action.
The battle.
And
it was so lame.
Yeah, the rest of the movies were a lot.
But that's you know, even the Matrix, when they did the second and third Matrix, they filmed them back to back, and they told you it's coming, but it's, you know. But there was actually action and a story in the second Matrix movie that made you want to go see the third one, and then the third one made you want to cry.
Debatable, yeah.
But
it was enough. It was enough to get you to
go see the third one.
Things happened.
Yeah.
At least. Like, that part one Harry Potter movie, nothing happened.
Yeah. You'd have to watch them through, but like, yeah,
you can skip that one and go right to the second part, and you don't miss much.
And it feels like the continuation of a movie where that just ended, and then you had to wait for the next part, which I have a feeling that's what's going to happen with this. I hope not with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, I think it's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah. Thanos probably won't even show up in it, and if he does, he's going to show up in, like, the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, I got this, and then...
Wickety whack.
That's probably
kind of like that happened on Harry Potter when he lifts up the wand. And he's just like there.
No, that's what he's going to do. You know how, like, in Infinity Gauntlet, he wipes out half the universe?
Yeah.
He'll go like that, and the movie will cut off.
That's
he'll probably say something like
cool.
that.
He needs to be directing the movie. That does sound awesome, though. I hope he didn't just ruin that, because it'd be like, that's what Pat said.
But the best part is they haven't written it yet, and we have recorded proof.
Yeah.
You'd be in the theater all of a sudden.
It was a spoiler he didn't even know about, yeah.
Spoiler alert for a
movie he didn't even say. Oh, he's always around, I tell you. But yeah.
So, anything else?
Mm-hmm. What do you want to talk about, Colin?
No. Comic? I already talked. Somebody else needs to talk
did
about comics.
Did anybody watch... you going to talk about Fear of the Walking Dead? Did
sure.
Did you watch that on?
I did not.
I completely forgot that it was existed. Premiering.
I thought the show was really slow for the first hour, and then the last half hour was good. The most interesting thing about it, and this is kind of like how horrible it kind of is, but not... Because it's not a bad show. It's just... It's very deliberate in what it's doing... And it's a very... They're trying to build suspense. But the problem is we already know what's going to happen. So it makes it difficult. But the character Nick, he walks into the diner when he's all strung out to go see his drug dealer. That's the diner from Pulp Fiction. So the whole time in my mind, I just have the chick, any of you pigs move? And I'm like, come on, say it. And then they totally did something with the character Calvin was, I guess, his friend in high school and his mom and her boyfriend are all like, oh, yeah, you know, we'll do, you know, oh, I'll do anything for you and all this. And then he's also his drug dealer. And it's like yeah. He just puts the leather hat on and he sits in the back and he's all G'd up. And it's like, well, as soon as I saw the leather hat, I knew he was the drug dealer.
A lot of it was like an after school special to me.
It did.
Playing the dangers of drug use and all that, but
and these characters are really stupid, like not what? Zombie apocalypse stupid, but what? So they knew it was a drug den.
Why did they call the cops?
Well, it's L.A. I think the cops knew that was a drug den.
Okay.
So that, you know, if they're not going to raid it, they're not going to raid it. But you know, something bad has happened there. You got the kids saying, "There's blood everywhere. People are dead." This all. Why do you go there alone with a flashlight in the middle of the night? Forget the zombies. That's just not a good place to be.
Yeah.
Now, this is earlier on in this apocalypse, so the zombies are more like less makeup, like more like
no, they look
real.
Yeah, I mean they have
they're
the
not
as glassy,
there should be like...
the foggy glassy eyes. They yeah. still have that.
But they're more human looking still.
They probably look like yeah. the freshly turned ones.
Yeah, they're yeah. more freshly turned.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, everybody was like freshly turned in it. There wasn't yeah. anybody like...
So they cheaper production.
They walk slow.
They don't have to do all the makeup.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah. you know, in the regular Walking Dead series, if they wax a zombie in the head, like, the head just explodes.
Yeah.
No, not in this. I mean, the bodies are very rigid still, and you know, like, they had one where cops were just wailing on one, and yeah. It kept coming,
yeah.
you know, so.
I thought that didn't help.
Well, no, yeah, they're, yeah. It's not that it's a.
Have they saw The Walking Dead?
Yeah. yeah. And it's not that it's a bad show, but knowing what's going to happen, and I think they should have given us more in the first episode to really hook an audience that's so used to.
Yeah, none of the characters are really standing out for me yet.
Mm-mm.
So we'll give them more time to see what they come up with for the rest of the first season here.
Well, in the first episode of the original, the main show, like, you really didn't have much to go on in that first episode either, character-wise, because all you had was Morgan, his kid, and Rick.
Yeah, but there were moments in the show that kind of hooked you, like as he's walking through, and then they have the, you know, dead inside don't open,
yeah.
and you can see it
there's
shaking.
Little things like that.
The bicycle girl zombie.
Yeah.
You know, they had things like that. Like
a bunch of like visually
yeah.
striking
yeah.
elements.
This they're not making as visual. Yeah. It seems because, and I haven't seen it yet, but it seems like. They're not wanting to. They don't have that because it hasn't happened. So everything's
yeah.
going to look as
which
real as it
is what
does
they
in real
want.
Life.
They want to have that deliberate,
yeah.
you know,
which it
you
might
know,
get
pacing.
To that point. What I think is cool about the idea of the show, if he does this, is that he can even tie this into his comics of having characters from this later on. Because they, you know, if you have characters that you're going to be following and the apocalypse is happening, and you can add them in later into the main book
yeah.
of saying.
Have someone show
introduce
up.
Introduce them and
yeah.
be like, oh, that's what's his name. And they've been established since the beginning of the apocalypse
but
or something
the only
like
thing,
that. But they're so far away. It takes a while.
The bonus with not doing that, though, is now there are no expectations for
yeah.
who's going to survive
true, yeah.
and what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
with this show, he's really free to do whatever
he
wants.
Whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
yeah. But he could still do that if he even did it with a comic book where he brings one of those characters into this or brings that group that we're going to see in the show maybe into this. You could still do that because of different time periods. Like, you can have that as, like, the show's kind of a prequel to what's happening in the book if they introduce those characters.
Yeah, but I'm saying is that if you see them in the book, unless it's a flashback,
yeah,
then immediately someone say, oh, well, I guess this person survives.
Oh, that gets away. Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Well, it also seems unlike, because remember, at this point in the comic during Alexandria, to go cross country,
yeah,
that just doesn't make sense.
And you know how long it takes them to get to Washington D.C., let alone
exactly.
Washington D.C.
But there are, I mean, the only thing I could say striking in it was there was like one scene where very early in the show they show the mom and the daughter driving, and they drive by a park and it's full with people playing and whatever, and then the mother and her boyfriend are driving later on in the show, and it's empty.
Yeah.
So, like, that stuff's happening. At the very beginning of the show, you can kind of hear a helicopter, and, you know, you're in downtown L.A., so you don't think too much of it.
Yeah.
But then by the end of the show, you're constantly hearing helicopters and sirens. So, like, you can tell something's going on, but it wasn't done as being out of place, like they know what's going on yet.
It's kind
of
like did you play the game? The video game? You played it. It's kind of like that, where remember at the beginning of that game, your guy has been arrested for something?
Yeah.
They're driving, and all of a sudden, that's when it began. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, and then he's been out of it for however long he was.
The only thing with that video game, the destruction was ramped up pretty fast.
Yeah.
In that game.
It was, because all of a sudden,
it sounds like it will be in the series. After it was
wrecked,
and then he gets out, and it's like already happened.
Yeah, it was like once he got out of the car, it was like you were in the world from the main Walking Dead.
I just always liked that because he was driving down that main road, and then all of a sudden, you're hearing like cop cars drive by. Mm-hmm. Nobody's questioning anything, but you know it like the whole time. Yeah. You're just like, it's happening.
What a great game!
Yeah,
the story in that game is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's really good. But that's the interest that I have in this show. It's just like, you know, something's going to happen, so your anticipation's already up.
I want to see the fall of governments and you know, like, society just collapse because...
Anarchists.
Yeah,
well... Instead of Rick just sleeping over it all.
Well, no, but that's... like, if you ever do the math, you know, and it's funny, you do zombie math, if each zombie infects 3 people a day... On day one, you only have 1 zombie. It only takes 28 days, and that's it. The world's gone.
People get bit really easy in The Walking Dead, though. Because they're very slow zombies. This isn't like
a good movie.
28 this isn't days like, what was that show? What was the movie where they were really fast at the zombies?
28 Days Later.
Was that 28 Days Later?
Yeah.
That was super fast.
I kept thinking of the other one. It's kind of more of a comedy.
Zombieland.
World War Z wasn't.
Zombieland is where they were running fast.
Yeah. Zombieland. Really fast. Yeah. But there's been a lot of them that just seem to move real fast. We're Walking Dead, they're always just like, and you're like,
those are Romero zombies as opposed to, you know, who did that? Eli Roth, I think, did 28 Days Later.
I think it was him, yeah.
Yeah, but like the shuffling kind of... Not move. That's Romero.
That's a lot of what he did.
It's not a horrible show, and it definitely has some promise. Kind of like the scenes that they showed from future episodes. Looks like it ramps up the action a lot more. But I think the first episode was too slow of a pace, especially for people that already watched the main show and you know, kind of expect something different.
Well, the thing I like about The Walking Dead, and this is the reason why a lot of people like it, is the fact that it's not necessarily about the zombies. It's about living in a world during an apocalypse. It's about that. It's about, you know, society, how it functions and that. And, you know, I think that's what makes it so interesting. I just watched a movie. It's that... a zombie movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it called Maggie.
I want to see that.
And I just watched it, and I liked it because he wasn't as prominent as you think. Like, he wasn't like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He did a really good job in this movie just playing the character that he did. They didn't have him playing Arnold.
Yeah.
Like, he was there.
Get to the chopper.
He was part of the whole story where basically his daughter, where his daughter has been bit. They don't really show you the biting. They don't show you really too many zombies at all. But you know this is happening, and it's all these people living in this world. dealing with this. And, like, they seem like they're easier to deal with than even The Walking Dead, where society didn't collapse, but they're dealing with this infection that they're, you know. And basically they quarantine them and they, you know, just don't get bit, you know.
Well, it
and it was interesting because it wasn't necessarily about, you know, run, it's a zombie. It was more about how is society functioning in this type of, in this biological, you know.
I got to wonder about that because that's...
Apocalypse.
When did Dawn of the Dead come out? Like, 78?
Yeah.
I got to think after that movie came out, a zombie apocalypse collapsing society won't happen. Because the first time I'm around and some dude bites another dude's face off, I'm shooting him in the head. Like, it's not getting to that point.
You know, it's interesting that Night of the Living Dead was a movie kind of like that for early zombie stuff. Because usually it was more about scaring people with these guys that were going to eat you, basically.
Yeah.
But that was kind of not necessarily about the zombies either, but more about...
Society.
Society. Yeah. You know, how are they going to live? And then even that ended. Like, the fact that they were just... And that has to be the most depressing ending.
The way that that movie ends, man.
Where
that
you're
is
just like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
I talked to that guy.
That's a phenomenal
movie.
He's
always at Steel City Con. The guy who shoots him at the end of that movie. And
that was Tom Savini that shot him at the end.
Was it Tom Savini?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he was the main guy.
I was talking to. It was a guy who played a police officer in that. Where I feel like
I think Tom Savini played the police officer in that
because he was sitting. I'm related to the writer, which I don't talk to that much. It was the first time I talked to him was John Russo, and he was at that table, and I was just talking to him while I was waiting.
So, you've seen the second one that takes place like mostly in the Minerva Mall.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's been a while, but I've seen it.
So you remember at the beginning the guy, the cop that kills himself.
Uh huh.
He is a cinema professor at Point Park.
Oh, really?
Work at, yeah.
So he's where you work at.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, I mean, Romero's from Pittsburgh. A lot of the people that are in that movie are local.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where the cemetery is where they first filmed that? I've been wondering that for a while.
Not from around here. I wouldn't...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. I've been trying to figure out where that is.
I can tell you where the Rocky Steps are.
Yeah.
I know where they are.
Yeah. Have you ran them?
Yeah. It's actually my grandma lived right around the corner.
They've moved that statue so many times. Where is
the
it?
The statue
now?
Was never.
Was it never at the top?
No.
I've always known it was
only
at the bottom of the
when
statue?
They filmed it, they put it there. It actually used to be out in front of the Spectrum.
Yeah.
And that's where they kept it. Like, they move it for the movies, and then they move it back to where the Flyers and Sixers play.
Huh. That's neat. I love the record. What everybody read? Who wants to start? Colin, you want to start? Your dog doesn't like to start.
No, because I've been talking.
Adam, you start.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, hang on.
There we go.
Thank you, Colin.
I like how you had it there the whole time when he was
talking. Because Dave's quieter. No offense.
None taken.
And then, yeah.
So what'd you read?
First one I want to talk about, just to get it over with, is Star Wars.
Stop buying this book.
hold on. Okay, I started reading this issue in particular, okay? And it starts off...
As opposed to what?
Huh?
Wait, which book?
I don't know what I was saying.
Star Wars?
Yeah, Star Wars. This scene in particular is... Yeah. It starts off with where we last left off, because it's been a while, because they did like a weird, like, not prequel type thing, but that Obi-Wan story. That Obi-Wan flashback, yeah. So it's been a while since we were at the part where we figure out that Han has a wife.
Yeah.
And as reading that part, I was bored out of my mind, because I was just like, who cares?
Well, him and Leia got to get married, so they got to get a divorce.
She keeps saying, nobody is telling you, and it's two issues it's taken for them to be like, yeah, it really is. And they just keep debating back and forth.
Yeah, it's Han and Leia.
Yeah. And Han is just like, Leia's like, you're married? Like, Leia would care at this point? Because it was after A New Hope, this is. So I don't know why Leia's like, you're married, and we have a thing going on here, because they don't.
She's a little crush.
Yeah, so I don't know. But
maybe that's why she called him a scruffy-looking nerf herder.
That's what it was all about.
Squeard.
Just the whole thing, they just kept going back and forth with, you know, is this your wife? Oh, I'm going to turn you in. You're up to something. Han Solo has a secret past and whatnot. I'm just like...
Bigamy is illegal in the
and
Empire.
Never,
and in this issue, his information
and then
was
she wants
leaked to, yeah. in the Ashley Madison hack.
But that's,
Wookie Lover 22.
That's what I would say. But they don't get anywhere, again, with this Sarya scene. And it's all about her turning him into... the Empire, which is above this planet where they're hiding out. But they can't get through it because of, like, electrical storms. Han uses this planet for hiding before. So that's why he knows about it. But the next part is Luke. And Luke is dealing... Now, this whole part, I didn't mind this at all. Like, this is not... This wasn't written that bad. I don't know about you, Dan,
well,
how you
it's
thought.
Luke go, well, Luke wants to go to Coruscant. Mm-hmm. To find
now,
out
I don't know why he did what he
but,
did.
But he goes into... My only problem was he goes into a cantina and pulls out his lightsaber and has a fight. And I'm like, where have we seen this before?
Yeah.
You know?
It was, yeah.
Well, no, he didn't just pull his lightsaber out and have a fight.
Well,
it reminded me at the bar.
First guy said, my friend doesn't like you. I don't like you either. And that's when it happened.
Well, okay, sure.
What was it, his lightsaber?
The only part about this scene I really didn't like is I don't know why he did what he did. Like, why didn't he just go to Coruscant? Was he wanting to know where the Jedi Temple was? Because wouldn't that be an easy thing to find?
Yeah, he's trying to... Well, I guess he needs help getting into the... He needs help getting into the planet because of all the...
Luke lost his lightsaber when his hand got cut off and built a new one. The new one he built was green.
Anakin's was, okay.
Yeah, because he had Anakin's.
Yeah.
Which somehow they got back because apparently that's the one he gives Leia in the new movie.
That's just weird because I don't think he could have got it back. It fell out of a hole in Sky City or Cloud City.
Cloud
it should
City,
be gone forever. Just like I went to. I guess if you went down to Cloud City. Whatever. I never really. Is that not a planet?
It's below Scouts.
Yeah, really. Is it a planet?
It's the Autumn Lands.
Yeah, but I think it's just a gas giant or something, though.
Maybe.
Yeah, because it's the gas. Yeah. That's what they're mining is gas.
Yeah.
Weird. So it's gone forever. I think we figured that out. The lightsaber should have been gone forever.
Look it up.
So
it's important, Colin.
This is important podcast information.
No, it reminded me of that Taylor Swift song.
I just want to know what we're missing, Adam.
What?
Sarah's going, look at him.
You know what's funny?
The one that they...
You just said what he said at the beginning, where you were just like, you know, all these like things that people of that age should... And you were just like, that Taylor Swift song. And I'm like, who?
The one that they sing to that 80s exercise video. That's what I saw.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Shake It Up? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, Josh, you'll know soon, my friend.
Above the planet Bespin.
Right.
Bespin.
Yeah,
what's a planet?
Duh.
So what does Bespin have?
Well, so is Jupiter, but there's no...
Oh, yeah, because it's full of gas.
Yeah.
So it might be just like Jupiter.
So is Adam. So.
That's why it's a cloud.
No, it's Cloud City because it's...
No, they're showing...
No, I mean, that's why,
I'll be
why
here
there are
night.
So many clouds.
There's
of
images
the gas.
Here
it's
of the like planet surface. With,
where?
Like, a society.
Do you see his lightsaber? So,
it's like Thor's hammer.
Somebody has to go get it. It should be smashed all over the ground from that height.
Yeah.
And smash Thor's hammer.
So,
what about the art? I thought the art was pretty good. It's
I don't mind. The art doesn't
new
bother
art
me.
New Stuart Immonen.
I didn't mind the idea of him going to, like, past places. And it kind of makes sense that Luke would be off somewhere. Because what I like about this is that he's trying to learn how to be a Jedi through the past. Because he's the only one who has to teach himself how to be a Jedi. Because he didn't have enough time to learn.
Yoda's form.
Yeah, but he didn't get there until then. He's learning certain things, little things, enough that he can, you know,
then
at least go to Yoda and be like, I can be a Jedi. And he's just like, well, you have a little bit of
training. No, you can't.
Then everyone knows he can't do it himself, so he shows up. Finally shows up on Hoth.
I thought it was funny that Obi-Wan Kenobi had a book.
Yeah, well.
Nobody in the Star Wars world has had a book, like out of paper. And then he's just like, you think he would have had some sort of
like
hologram, and he was just like, oh, yeah, that's his journal entry.
Even in the And no, it wasn't in Phantom Menace. It was in Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
They go to the library, oh, yeah, and it's hollow.
And it is, too. He's like, oh, we can put
all
these
holocrons, all the information.
I'd assume that's how he did it. It would have made more interesting story. Oh, I found this thing. Now I have to read it. But where can I find a place to read it? And then he could have went and done that. Yeah. But no, they skipped that completely and said, book. He's got a paper.
You know, that also didn't make a whole lot of sense. So he went to the library, and they got all that stuff. You don't need a library. You just need a computer with a lot of storage.
Yeah.
You know, and terminals, obviously, but you don't need books. Like, you don't need shelf space.
Yeah, it seems like that seems...
It should be a computer lab.
Because everything should be on there. You don't have to go and, you know, walk around shelves and be like, oh, here's the holodisk that I'm looking for. Like, they missed the point of computers.
Dewey Decimal System, you must know.
It's not the holodisk you're looking for.
Not a bad issue. This has been one that I've actually... This one I actually enjoyed. I liked the Luke story. Then they went back to that whole Han Solo thing where I was just like, okay. And then the Empire finally gets through the shield and she's just like, nah, now I can turn you in. I'm like, why are you turning him in? Like, we don't know. For two issues. Haven't known.
Those ships are really close in that last page.
Yeah, they were just flying right in at full speed, and they're almost
they're gonna crash
right into them. But, I don't know. I've been reading the letter columns in the back, and people were just like, this is the best book ever. And I'm just like, what do you got? Have you read Batman?
Every review I've read is glowing. I wrote down the reviews on Comic Book Resources. Star Wars number 8 presents a creative team at the top of their game.
And then there's going to be another book coming up, this Darth Vader miniseries. Vader Down, which is Jason Aaron. It's just like he's not even the good Star Wars.
But
writer.
But you're trying to like...
No, another $5 book.
He's pregnant. Yeah. What else did you read, Adam?
Books.
Okay, maybe
I checked them out at the Holo books. Let's see.
Talking digital comics in this store.
That's how it works at Star Wars. There's no other option. You're gone at Star Wars.
Yeah, you exist in that time.
It was a long time ago.
Colin's obsolete a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
So what other books did you read?
Obsolete now.
Oh. Justice League.
Yes.
Sucked.
Justice League was...
Put your hand down on the... I just want to see something. Come on.
Drop the wall.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That's on my list.
Justice League was great. It was really good.
One thing I liked about this book is that they told it... They introduced it and then concluded it with Wonder Woman. And it is kind of a Wonder Woman story in a way, somewhat. There's a lot of Wonder Woman things to it. Yeah. And I kind of like that where it's following... Well, it has, like, especially when we're following this character... what is her name?
Grail.
When we're following Grail and who she is and going back a little bit in the Wonder Woman mythos. But it's equally showing a lot of other places, like, you know, how... Grail uses it was Grail, I'm pretty sure, that in the
blood
previous
magic.
Issue. Well, she used Flash as a portal in.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, oh, that works because she knows. But the whole book was really interesting, showing Batman in the chair and in his whole
chair.
What he turns
That's
into.
His chair.
That's
his
right.
Chair.
Yeah.
That's what I saw. And just listening to him and how he just knows, like, everything, how it works. And certain thing, what was the thing he couldn't access?
The monitor? Andy Monitor.
Yeah. And that was the only thing he couldn't. I guess it's because it previously was his check.
Yeah.
That was great.
Was that something that was established prior to...
No.
That it was his chair?
Yeah.
Yes, in issue 40.
No. Before the Justice League.
Before Justice League? No, this is the first time they've ever...
Okay.
They've done this.
Because there was Metro,
it works,
but
though.
That wasn't...
I want to hear how it ties
But why
into
was
the...
it called the Mobius Chair? You know, they never explained.
I want to see how it ties into, like, Quard and stuff like that, because with everything dealing with antimatter and all that, how did he get there? So to expand on that character would be nice, because they never really expanded on that character. Besides him being, you know, existing, him, you know, in Infinite Crisis, And then, or, yeah.
Yeah, the Crisis.
And then, what was the other thing he did? Oh, and then he was a Yellow Lantern. But it was basically like his corpse almost. It wasn't really, I don't think he was alive during that. But, yeah, all that. You don't really know too much about that character as well. And the introduction of this new character, Grail, has been really interesting. And then tying up all this this Darkseid stuff.
That last page where you had Darkseid and his force on one side, yeah. And then you had
and then seeing the characters like the antimatter, his army of antimatter, and then the parademons on the other side. It was really cool. And there was something else.
The Superman stuff in Apocalypse with Luthor was...
Yeah.
And then him charging himself, Luthor just throws him into the pits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and then it charged him, but it corrupted him.
Yeah, it's done something bad.
So. I love the dialogue when Geoff Johns writes this dialogue that just cuts right to the heart when Superman's losing his power and he says, I'll be human, and Luthor's like, you won't be human.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
You'll still be alien.
Powerless.
Yeah.
Their whole dynamic back and forth. It's nice that we're getting that a little bit.
It really works.
Yeah. I don't know. Just Geoff Johns really tells it good.
And the art, again, is fantastic.
And the art has been fantastic.
Yeah, Jason Fabok's art is...
Yeah. But it was interesting with the Metron and the Mr. Miracle stuff.
Yeah. That was great.
Just all really, really... I mean, I finished that and I went, this is how you do an event. And... It's just in Justice League.
Yeah.
It's not an event, but, I mean, this is an epic story that they're telling and doing it really, really well. One disconcerting thing, not totally disconcerting, but in the new previews I noticed it's Francis Manapul doing the issue for November? So
I thought he was doing the cover.
No, it says art and cover.
I don't necessarily have a problem.
I don't either, especially because in October we're going to have those, 8 or 10 little one-shots.
Yeah.
That was fun figuring out how to order those.
His art is great. It may just be a bit of a distraction.
Yeah. Because this Fabok stuff is just...
His art is just... It's really, clean and, it's
clean,
just,
the layouts are great. Everything about it is really, really good. I mean, especially Mr. Miracle, his thing is half off, but everything looks so
everything
right.
Everything in the panel feels important and feels like the same attention to detail was given to it.
The speaking of Metron, when we were talking about, you said that between him and Metron, Metron's up to something and he knows what he's doing. This is all part of his. So
yeah, I don't think he got off the chair just because of the lasso. I think there's more to it than that.
Yeah, there's just a little more to it.
He's kind of one of those characters you never know what side.
Oh yeah, he's always
on. He's always
kinda,
been a little sketchy,
going back and forth. But good. It was just a really good issue. This book's been good for a while.
Yeah,
and for a book that I didn't think started off very well. And it sure is. It picked up within no time, and has continued to be, constantly good. So no, it's been good.
You thought it didn't start off?
I did not like War
Origin. Well, I didn't really care for Origin, and then
the second one,
the Villain's Lament or whatever that
thing
was.
The writer.
Yeah, that one I didn't like.
When I started liking that book was Throne of Atlantis. I thought
Throne of Atlantis
was a really good story. It was a good tie-in with what he was also writing at the time, which was Aquaman. So
I liked how it started initially, but that second arc I wasn't a big fan of.
I just didn't like. Yeah, I mean it was.
So
okay.
Did you read in issues that Origin was a little slow? It probably reads better as a trade.
Yeah,
it just seemed a little tedious.
I read it in issues, but since we, that's when my wife and I started reading comics in general. So since we started a little bit late, we were to buy, handful of them at a time.
Yeah, I think I read the first 6 all at once.
Okay, monthly it was a little slow.
One of the biggest complaints with the beginning of that story was one of your complaints with JLA, which is how the characters talk. They pictured Green Lantern a little too...
He was really hyper and goofy.
And they just didn't see him as...
They try to make him too... Hal Jordan's an interesting character, right? Because he is kind of a cocky, bastard sometimes.
Which is weird, especially because it was John's writing it.
Yeah, but in this,
I think since he was trying to write a younger Hal Jordan,
and that's what he
made him seem
too
immature,
cocky. Yeah,
and yeah, too cocky. But he just came across as like a clown.
I didn't think it was bad, but I think a lot of people were expecting a lot more out of this big issue because, like, this issue came out. This is that midnight release issue. A lot of people were, and then continuing with the story, it was just like, this is okay. But I think it really took off at Throne of Atlantis, and it's continued to be really well done. So, yeah. It's
and I good. Think that's also when they started with the Shazam backups, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
and those were all really good.
And those were really good.
Yeah, those were great.
The other book I read was Archie number 2. Archie is pretty good. It's just a really fun. I think they modernized it enough without stepping away from the classic feel of yeah. Archie. Just characters have been well written. One of my favorites. And what's cool about this book, this particular issue, is they gave this like Jughead origin story.
Yeah, this is the one thing. I wasn't sure about.
Yeah, and it was a little. I thought it was a little cheaply done. Like it was a little quick, and it was just like, this is why his name's Jughead, because supposedly Jughead was rich. His family was rich, the richest people in Riverdale, and his dad invested in the bottled water. I think is what it was, and lost everything. And so the kids just bullied him and called him Jughead after water jugs. So that's why. And I was just like, that could be better.
Yeah. When you find out the S, what the S on his shirt means.
Yeah, what was it again? I forget.
Survive.
Yeah.
Not hope.
Yeah, it's not
hope. Survive.
Yeah, it's not hope. But.
Because Jughead's a survivor.
I don't know.
Not in Superman. Well, I guess he is in the afterlife.
But he's the smartest character in this whole thing.
Yeah.
That's what's
kind of cool. It was funny. I like the stuff with Archie trying to do the odd jobs, and he catches all the ice cream on fire.
Yeah,
somehow,
and just like,
the ice cream shop.
How is this possible?
that was funny.
Yeah. Him catching the ice cream on fire. But him, everything he does.
That's a Jughead thing to do.
No, it's not as Archie. Archie does. Archie. Supposedly, Archie has a hard time keeping anything, like, doing that. Anything that he tries, he screws up on.
Yeah.
So, any job that he picks up, like, he picked up.
They're building the Lodge Mansion.
Yeah.
Now, and Archie gets a job there and totally brings it down.
He comes back later on. Well, he's fired. He's let go from that job because of, I forget what he did exactly at that time. But he came back and he said, well, I got to fix what I made a mistake as. And he accidentally sends one of the bulldozers, like, crashing into the lodge. And this is while Mr. Lodge and Veronica show up. So this is the first time we've seen Veronica in this book. And that's why she kind of likes him because, you know, he's clumsy and all this. And for some reason she
pissed off Daddy.
Liked him. But, it's the first time he just... Yeah, pissed off Mr. Lodge. It's good. It really is. It's worth picking up just for something just different to read, something just basic. It really is worth it.
Yeah.
It and I'm looking forward to the spinoff book to come out, Jughead, because they've really done a good job with Jughead. Like, he's this character who's just everybody
really
else sees him as kind of, Jughead. He's, he's just Jughead, but he's really the smartest person there. He'll probably go mad and kill them all at some point.
Well, he does.
After Life with Archie.
Yeah.
But no, it's really worth picking up. Robin, Son of Batman.
I read that.
I like it. I have liked this book. It's a little... This issue kind of went in a different direction than what Tomasi was doing originally. And, and Gleason's now doing the entire book.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like the original Batman and Robin book before in the last two issues. This issue kind of changed it up. He's basically every mission, he's just doing a mission every book, kind of, it looks like. That he's trying to reverse his
Year of
Blood. And he's trying to fix everything that he screwed up. Kind of to fix his past sins. And he's having help for some reason by Nobody's daughter.
Well, she was going to kill him.
So she was sticking around to make sure nobody else killed him, is what it was.
And then, now they've come to an agreement where...
Well, you can see in this issue where it's going.
Oh, yeah.
Robin's going to have a girlfriend pretty soon.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who's your girlfriend? Nobody.
Nobody. Oh, that's what we thought.
Oh.
That's what we thought.
You don't know her. She lives in Canada. But there was even a joke in this where he still had baby teeth because she knocks one of them out.
Like,
I think he's a little off from having a girlfriend.
Yeah.
How young is he?
10.
He's 10, but I still think he's... I don't know.
Still baby teeth at 10?
That's why I was wondering.
My son can't get braces yet.
Because he has baby teeth?
Yeah. You have to wait for everything to come out.
Like you have to do what nobody did, punch them out.
It takes a while. The molars take a while.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what he lost, too, was his molars.
Yeah.
There you go, Colin. Colin saved the day on this one.
Colin's dental knowledge. New segment on the podcast. Right in, let us
That's why I know.
Yeah.
You know how much it costs to pull teeth? My daughter had to have some of her baby teeth pulled because they wouldn't fall out because they wanted to get the braces on. I'm like, can't we wait?
Now you should have been Dennis instead of comic book store.
Yeah, that was something. I'm having a lot more fun doing this, although not right now.
I don't know. You could have a lot of fun being a dentist. Did you ever see Little Shop of Horrors? Yeah. Steve Martin had all kinds of fun.
He'd just be reading highlights for children.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was the dentist.
He was the one that they fed, the first one they fed to the plant.
Yeah.
But it's not bad. It's not a bad book.
No.
And I know Josh had the polls up on the website. It didn't get too much, but I think mainly because it was a book that just came out of another book. So I don't think it had much interest because people were probably still reading it and continuing. It was just like, this is not what I'd be interested in if everything else was new, you know?
I heard someone else critique it, and they were saying, so I'm not reading it, so I don't know firsthand, but they were saying that it's a well-done book. But they've always thought of Damien as more of a street level character, and this it's a bit too almost mystical for.
Actually, that's the kind of character I kind of always saw Damien because of his. I think they're making it more League of Assassins.
I agree with that. He's more of a street level guy. Not that he's dumb. Not that. And you know, the thing is, we didn't see the Year of Blood.
Yeah.
So, you know, clearly, if he did that and, you know, that was part of his training, he would have the training to be able to correct the Year of Blood.
Yeah.
But if you just take what you saw before, he should not have been able to do half the things. Like, he doesn't have the tactical knowledge of his father. He shouldn't be able to do all these things the way he... I don't want to say it's effortless, but it almost is. Like, he's joking as he's doing
something. I think
he
had the knowledge, just not the right type of knowledge. I think he had the knowledge enough to do what he can do. I just don't think... I think it was the way he went about it. That's what Batman had to change.
Well, no, and that's what I was going to say. He has the knowledge, if it's just kill whatever gets in my way, he can do that.
You don't think he could go and steal something?
But as being Damien and kind of adhering to his father's principles, I think he'd have a much harder time because he has to think more tactically and, okay, I can't kill people, so how do I get around things?
Yeah.
You know, that's the part where I struggle, you know, because he's 10.
Yeah.
So even if you say, okay, well, he has all this experience, how much experience could he really have? He's only 10.
Yeah. They just drilled it into him, I think, that he had no other life besides being a child. Like, he couldn't really be a child. They said grow up.
If you started training him at 4, he only has 6 years experience. And you know, with his father, he really only would
have... He
wouldn't
have the years to back it up.
Yeah, he would only have one or two.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying.
And not only that, okay, so he knows, you know, he obviously knows martial arts and all that.
Yeah.
My nephew's 10. No matter how hard he punches me, I'm laughing it off.
Yeah.
You know, so when they got these great big guys...
As he hits
them
back.
Well, yeah.
His nephew's listening next time, Patsy, don't low blow.
He's just like, done.
Oh, they've done that,
laugh
too.
Now, Uncle.
Done.
Yeah. But, I mean...
It's a different feel for the book.
Yeah.
For that, because it is... The other book didn't really follow too much of the League of Assassins, where this book did.
Yeah,
this book has really been more about his time with the League of Assassins, which I guess we didn't really get to see too much of originally, of what his time... Like, there was always flashbacks of him with his mother, but other than that, like...
Yeah, you get him flashbacks.
Not much of what he did while he was there.
I think the other thing is, with Batman not being Batman right now, it would be hard to pair them to, but I always liked that dynamic...
Yeah.
And I think that this is something, you know, with what's going on with Bruce, you know, based on what we saw in the last issue of Batman, Oh, by the way, you have a 10-year-old son who used to be an assassin, and he's running around right now trying to correct his wrongs.
Yeah.
Like, that's an interesting story waiting to be told.
Yeah.
And that might be what Robin Eternal's about.
Yeah. I have a feeling that book might be the return of Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
Yeah, reading the previews brings up some old case and some, like, biggest lie kind of thing.
Because you can't keep Dick Grayson dead for that long. I think they'll keep the whole secret agent thing.
You can't keep a good Dick down.
I think they'll keep...
That's what I was thinking. I didn't want to say it, but thank you, Pat.
Yep.
I think they'll keep the... I think they'll keep the whole secret agent thing going on. Yeah.
Well, it's a secret. They can keep that going.
But I don't think they'll... I think it'll be out now that he's
especially
not dead.
With how badly Dick Grayson wants to be back in the fold.
Yeah, they were only going to keep that for so long. Plus, I don't think they have to anymore. There's no leadership in Spiral anymore because that guy left, right?
Brunelli's the...
Yeah.
So it really doesn't matter if he's out now.
But they're at odds now.
Oh, well.
Which, maybe that's why it doesn't matter, because now he's kind of on the run from Spiral and from everyone because he's not sure to trust. And...
Yeah.
He should just go back to being Batman.
Of course he couldn't trust them. He was supposed to infiltrate them. I mean, he knew he wasn't going to stay there forever. But maybe that's where it's going. But I can't think of anything else I read.
Okay.
And I forgot my notes.
Because you didn't know you were coming?
No, I knew I was. They were ready. I forgot to grab them.
House of M.
That read it?
I like that.
See, I'll jump in. I'll know. Somebody's going to read before it's part of my list.
It was fine. Basically, it's House of M.
Yeah,
and now it's neat that they've incorporated some of the after stuff, like the Luke Cage book that took place after it, in the underground and stuff. Yeah, the House of M Avengers.
I had an issue with how it. Yes, don't do that. You're gonna get everybody going. I had a problem with it didn't. It wasn't kind of, the world didn't feel like House of M, how it felt like in the books, because they weren't hunting humans in House of M. Humans were coexistent, and in this they were definitely hunting them down.
Maybe they were
only hunting them down because they saw them as terrorists to their world.
You know, with this being the first issue, you don't obviously see all what's going on.
That might have been
enough. That might have been. And, you know, the other thought may be because it's, you know, the Secret Wars and they're on Battle World, resources may be more limited, and Magneto's just taking the stance, if they're human, kill them.
Yeah.
Save the mutants, the hell with the humans.
Magneto didn't seem to care about anything in that book.
No, he was very nonchalant.
He was just like, whatever.
He doesn't care about Namor, and, you know, I'm going to send my son there. Like, that's your biggest enemy. I don't think I'd send, you know, your son as your emissary.
Well, you know what? I just thought of something, because I was going to mention another one of the family members that they never mentioned in House of M, the original book. We were talking about humans, and if they were hunting them. And in that book, Wiccan and, what's the other one called? He's the speedster. I forget his name. Whatever his name is. He looks like Pietro. They were fighting for human rights.
Yeah, well,
and that's why
they
had issues with them. So there must be something going on with humans and that was not in the original House of M. I found that a little odd. I did like how those two characters were brought in as her kids, because that's always been the thing where, is it her kids?
Well, Wiccan always was,
yeah.
I thought.
And the other one is as well. They were supposedly the twins, and somehow they aged quicker. I don't know what happened exactly with that. That never made any sense to me, really. Which, that she created, the kids were created from her mind, but they weren't. And they were real, and never really cleared that up, but...
And, you know, this is just another one where I can't see some of the stuff that's going on Doom allowing.
Doom
like,
allows
it just,
a lot.
Yeah, I mean, is this like a laid-back Doom that,
it seems,
you know...
like, and I keep saying
smokes
this.
A bone, eats Fruit Loops.
Yeah, yeah, it's like he doesn't care as long.
Yeah.
It seems like he only cares, and, you know, Colin was reading a book, and I don't remember which one, you'll have to think of that, but it was a... Doom doesn't seem to care unless it goes outside of the jurisdiction where he allows them. It doesn't seem like if you jump out of that section, then he's like, get over the wall, you're getting eaten by zombies. You know, but that seems to be about it. What was the book that you said that they were fighting over the wall and taking over different areas?
Oh, that was Squadron Supreme.
Yeah.
And well, my problem with this is it doesn't, it feels like it could just be a follow-up to House of M.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't feel like a Secret Wars book.
Well, but Civil War has done the same thing.
Okay.
Where it feels like it's just
a what-if.
Yeah, just pretend that the war never ended and here's what happened.
Here's the story that's happening on this world. It's like you're supposed to have all these worlds, and then they're just telling little stories about what-if stories.
Yeah.
And then all of the main book has to deal with, which is, he's right, it's not what they said it was going to be. It said it was going to be a battle world. I mean, you called it Battle World. You called it Secret Wars, and there's nothing happening that's
you
a war or a battle.
Zones.
Yeah, war zones. Like, okay, where are they fighting? Or because when you originally thought that, you were thinking, this place is going to go up against this
mm-hmm.
place. They're
yeah.
going to
yeah.
fight.
Kind of like, well, they said it's going to be like Convergence, where you have different versions of the characters fighting.
You know what, I almost wonder if that was what their original plan was, and
because
then once
Convergence
came out, they said, just like, well, yeah, we got to stop that, and we'll do something. Because
I read a What If Civil War and a What If House of M.
Yeah.
You know, this has happened. Not to say that some of these haven't been good.
I just have a hard time seeing where they tie in.
Well, like, one of them is Renew Your Vows, which actually I did read. That was one that I read. And it's good. Like, it's been a very decent book. But the only time... Now the books are starting to fade in of, you know, once in a while a character will be like, Doom, you know, Doom.
And
know,
they did mention
Oh My Doom,
House of
you
that.
Know, or something
yeah.
like that. And then, you know, it just doesn't... I don't know. It doesn't go anywhere past that.
Yeah.
You know, and then Doom, like, they mentioned the plan, like... What's his name? Renute or something like that? I don't know. He's the Baron
Regent.
Of... Regent. He's the Baron of the Spider-Man world that Renew Your Vows is in.
Okay.
And his plan is that once he gets these powers, he wants to go up against a mad god. Well, when I hear mad god, I always think Thanos. So they wrote that really badly. But he's talking about Doom.
Yeah.
And that's the first we've ever heard that he's going after Doom. And then, like, House of M, Marvel Zombies... Their plan is that they're
House of M, Marvel Zombies. I read that one.
Yeah, it's the crossover one. That's the two groups. How? Oh, I'm sorry. What is it called? Age of Ultron.
You need
yeah,
your notes, you Adam.
I do need my notes. It doesn't really do much. They're wanting to do that. Breach the siege wall and go over it. The shield. You know, stuff like that. But you really haven't... They haven't really done anything. And then this... I don't see him doing anything with that either, going up on that.
We'll see, right around issue 9. Green Lantern Lost Army.
I read that.
I thought it was okay. The art still bothers me in this book, though. The story I thought was... the story I thought was fine. Just some of the... I think it's the style. It's not even necessarily the art. I find the style distracting. Not bad, just distracting.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem, to me, the art, nothing spectacular about it, but nothing bad about it. Just it's that middle-of-the-road art
yeah.
for me.
Is it the same artist on Green Lantern Corps? Or they changed that?
No,
sure. I remember that guy would do those panels where everything was white, but like certain things were red.
No, because even the art on Green Lantern Corps, I would say, is at least compatible with what you would find in the main Green Lantern book.
Yeah.
This, it's completely different.
Oh.
More cartoony. But
that's different.
So they'd met up with Young Relic in the last issue, and in this issue, they kind of tell him what he wants to hear so that he'll help the Green Lanterns try to find the rest of the core members. There were lightsmiths. Basically, you know, he's saying that the lightsmiths that our version of Relic was telling them about are there. Instead of rings, they have spears.
The stabs, yeah. And he mentions that, you know, the beginning of the dwindling light wars, which we heard about a bit during the whole Lights Out thing.
Yeah.
So it looks like that's just ramping up in this universe. And the Lanterns let on that they are from the future, but instead of saying that they were just, you know, somehow transported back,
yeah.
they said they came back to help him save his universe.
Yeah.
So, like, they straight up lied to him. And, but the interesting thing in it was that John Stewart is the one who came up with this plan just to all of a sudden to lie, and Guy Gardner's one's like, whoa, shouldn't we, you know, maybe talk to him, tell him what's going on, maybe try to help him save, you know.
It was a definite role reversal for them.
It was really weird, but then, see, so you kind of almost feel a little bad for Relic at one point, even though you know what happens in the future. But then, whenever they're attacked by these light pirates, and the Lanterns go out to try and help defend, you find out that Relic's not really quite as, you know, nice and innocent as he seems, because he's studying them as well, and says to
Krona,
yeah, that he, because Krona asks him if he thinks they have a chance of beating the light pirates, and he says no, but he didn't say anything because he wants to study their weapons. So he essentially would just let them go out and be slaughtered, even though, you know, he knows they will be, just because he can study the pirates and their weapons.
Why is Kronos there?
We don't know yet.
They don't have to tell us. Yeah. I've been wondering.
And so we don't know what time they're there or what dimension they're there. Yeah. Or, you know, what part of the multiverse they're in. You know, it's just they showed up and they found these people. That they kind of ran into before.
Huh. Yeah. So. Jon Stewart's been really like acting like Hal Jordan a lot.
Yeah. So far in this. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, like just definitely kinda, you know, jump first and think later.
Yeah, just take charge, make the decisions all on his own, and worry about the consequences after the fact.
But no one's challenging him either.
Gardner is.
Well, yeah, but Guy wasn't there at first, and you know, Guy kind of always challenges authority regardless of who it is anyway, but like the rest of the core, and challenge may not be the right word, but they definitely accept John as he's in charge, he is their leader.
Well, also, I think that
didn't Hal make him the leader though before he left?
No, it wasn't Hal, it was the Guardians. But yeah, because they said that Hal had to do something else. And,
oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that's why that worked that way.
And then there's a possibly, you know, big thing that happens at the end of the book, that last page.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah. I don't...
There's a character that they show as possibly being killed on the last page, but I don't think that they're going to be dead because they were still alive on that last page.
Yeah, I'm assuming that someone's going to rescue that character with, you know, using their energy or whatever. But it's that same energy draining...
so cryptic.
Well, I don't want to give it away. But it's that same energy draining technology that that Relic had in Lights Out.
Gnort? Or Chip? Okay, that's the only ones I care about.
His badge.
Yeah. Don't you dare say that.
Yeah, Chip's that.
Badge is hanging out with Simon Baz.
Yeah. We haven't seen Simon Baz in forever either.
Yeah, you know, just in general, after all the hoopla of bringing him in, he never amounted to anything.
That's one thing DC has done a bad job with, introducing a character and then just forgetting about them. Like, with the Shazam backup stories, perfect time to have a Shazam book after that.
I guess they had a news article just recently about Wonder Woman supposedly had a boyfriend early on in New 52, and then he's vanished.
It was Steve Trevor,
wasn't it? No, somebody else. Oh, I'm sorry, Lois Lane. Lois Lane had a boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's
Lois Lane. I mean, she jumps from man to man. It's okay.
I guess this was serious, though.
It's a fast lane with Lois Lane.
Yeah.
Martian Manhunter.
Man, that is a great book.
I took a lot of those home to read, but I didn't read any. I think I took two or three sets of two and three.
That was a really...
You cannot miss an issue of this book.
No.
Colin. Yeah.
No.
I took them home again. It
has been really good. No, you got to pay attention, though, as you read.
Yeah, like, this is a really good, like, creepy sci-fi story. And there's a lot of, you know...
But how many people are passing it just because, oh, it's Martian Manhunter, I don't care.
Those people are stupid.
No, but I'm just saying... Stupid. But so you're having a book that's underperforming, possibly, I don't know. But it could be underperforming through no fault of DC's. They're putting out a quality book, just not enough people. Oh, well, I got to get, you know, all the X-Men Secret Wars tie-ins.
And you can't say that DC didn't try to show people what the works. They did those previews.
Yeah, and everything. And they were,
They did. We the identity of Mr. Biscuits is revealed, and
yeah.
it's Rocky Dennis. That's what it, when I saw his face. That's what I'm like. It's not.
He just had all that silence.
I don't know who that is.
You've never seen Mask?
What's his name from the
oh, okay.
The
okay.
Cher movie with
yeah.
the Elephant Man.
Okay, disease. A long time ago in the theater. So yeah.
Man, visually, you're
like
right.
Your joke at all?
No, I just didn't know who it was.
I just wasn't expecting a reference like that.
I bring him out, you know. It's
it looks like Cher.
I kind of like that movie. I haven't seen it in many years.
No, I haven't either.
I remember it being a decent movie. It's very sad. You shouldn't watch Adam.
No.
Yeah. You wouldn't recover.
But, you know, Mars is going to attack. That's, I mean, it's...
yeah, so we're seeing, like, the ramifications
I've seen
of what
that
happened.
Movie. That's Mars Attacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all seen
we're that. We're seeing the ramifications of what happened from John's putting himself into that, you know, device and essentially killing himself.
Yeah.
And we're seeing all of these other Martians that are, you know, undercover and covertly, you know, operating on Earth.
Yeah.
So, where we think that John's killed himself, it looks like...
Well, and the other ones, the white one, was that like the Martian High Council or something like that? Or, I mean,
there
was
white Martians and the one...
And there was the one red yeah. one.
And you don't know a whole lot about all these different Martians mm-hmm. quite yet. But so it looks like John sent parts of himself off.
Yeah, it's like he
all
split
over the,
parts
yeah, like
of
all
him
over
out.
The globe. And part of him is now kind of infused with different people.
Mm-hmm.
And in the previous two issues, they refer to John's as being a weapon. I never thought that they literally meant like a weapon. But in this issue, they kind of just
no, he was
going to
be a weapon.
That he literally is some sort of, you know, weapon, not just, you know, a soldier or some, you know,
yeah.
planted soldier, but there's something else to him. And they mention how the weapon is now split up into different pieces. So it's a crazy, but good kind of
it's
crazy.
It's been a good mystery.
Look, yeah, a good yeah. mystery. It ties in a little bit with the other, like big name DC characters. We have a little bit with
Superman,
Wonder Woman, Flash.
Yeah,
in the beginning and seeing the fallout. So it's been a really good like dark sci-fi book. I like yeah. it a lot.
And the last one I read was Young Terrorists.
I like
it. It was
that.
Interesting.
There's a lot that needs to be explained.
Yeah.
A whole lot, but I thought that was just a very very interesting book. Basically, well, I mean, going from the very beginning, this girl is kidnapped. Her dad was shot.
Yeah.
And she was kidnapped, but that wasn't the same girl. That was somebody.
Well, we don't.
Then that girl shows up. Yeah, that was the girl. And then it shows like 15 years later or something like that.
She's a suicider.
She's a suicide bomber, and she shows up in this coffee house behind this diplomat? Professor? Professor, probably.
I'm not quite sure what it was. He was speaking Arabic.
Yeah. And she says, make your peace. There's the camera. Make your peace. He looks up and says, I love you.
Sarah.
I was going to say Sansa. I'm like, that's not right. Sarah. And then, boom, blows her up. Girl is in, like, boarding school when this happens. Someone has planted stuff in her locker. And they lead her to her locker, and she's looking, she's going, that's not my lock. I have a key lock, and it was a combination lock. Well, they cut the lock off. Clearly, it's something terrorist-related. Then, I don't even remember when she finds out about her dad, or if she does, if they show it.
Immediately, because they...
But then they show her in a police car, and they're taking her off. The part that I don't get, that I want an explanation for, is there's people talking via text, and you don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And you still don't know who they are. Who were these people watching?
Well, they had, like, the Doomsday Prepper guy, and then that was on one page, and the other thing, there was, like, an infographic. I think it was...
You know, I didn't read that whole thing.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you.
But essentially what it was there's supposed to be... three houses that control all the finance and all the communications in the world. She was one, it was like the black
house. For
her
dad, yeah.
The red house and the gold house. And, like, the black house ran Yale University and then had, you know, a bunch of banks and all this other stuff. One was, I think the Red House was Stanford, and then I forget what the, Columbia, I think, was the Gold House. And I think it was, you know, the one of the other two houses, or both of them, okay. They were conspiring against the first house.
I wasn't sure who was doing that. And then, so she gets taken basically like to Quantico, and is just tortured. You know, what do you know? Things where she doesn't know anything. She had nothing to do with it.
Stripped naked, forced to
play. And then basically it just makes her really, really tough, hardened, and she eventually gets out. Then the other part of the story is this boy who's on the run, and supposedly she had been giving him notes.
Yeah.
But he didn't know. It's just like, I'm watching you. You know, you have to run, and he's on the run, and finally gets the crap beat out of him. And then this guy who had kidnapped that first girl who was the suicide bomber shows up and is kind of like protecting him and bringing him to this place where it's with her.
It's Detroit.
It's Detroit, and that's where Sarah is. And it's just very, I don't know what's going on. It was a night. It was a big, thick, I think it was like an $8 book.
Yeah, it was.
But there it was like 56, 80 pages. There was a lot to it. And they're not all going to be like that. They just wanted to, said in the back, basically, we had too much we wanted to tell, and we couldn't figure out how to break it up, so we're dumping all this on you right off the bat. It was good. It sold out of Diamond. I have more coming in direct from the company. That's my buddies at Black Mass.
Yeah. It was very good. Did you read,
my buddies, but you know.
Did you read the letter in the back from the writer?
No, I didn't. I kind of half skimmed it after I finished 80 pages. Yeah, that's a lot for me.
What he essentially said was, "The story's not real, but it is." And he goes through this long story about how he was working with somebody who wanted to make a movie, and they got this lobbyist group to help them, and the lobbyist group was anti-PETA. And then in the course of this guy making, like, it started out, he didn't like PETA, and then as it started out, he started to feel a little more sympathetic towards their cause, and then this, and he said, like, you know, he didn't stop eating meat or anything like that, but he just feels that way. And there's actually a couple references in the book where, like, if I was a chicken, first thing they cut off my beak, I'd be, you know, pumped with hormones until I can't walk, and, you know, like, so that, like, the tone of it's in there. But this guy made the movie, and then basically all these lobbyist groups didn't quite like the message that was being told, or it wasn't exactly what they wanted, so they tried to shut him down. And that's what he was trying to say, is, you know, the conspiracy is out there, you know. I think that this book has a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends on how political this guy wants to make this book. But yeah, as a first issue, there's a lot going on in there. There was something about, essentially like an internet pay-per-view porn type thing going on that they were using for mind control. Like, there's a
lot in the fights.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. There's just a lot in there.
And then were those clones of that one girl?
Yeah. Well, you know, she even says they're clones.
Right.
But they're
not
quite clones because that would take too long.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely some tinfoil hat messages stuff in there, but at the same time, it's a well-written story. The art's pretty cool, too.
It was, overall, I thought it was really, really well done.
Yeah.
But just, yeah, there's a lot of questions it needs to resolve, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No,
I enjoyed that one a lot.
I did, too.
It was funny. The only reason I read it, this is one of those weird things where getting to know people, getting on the right email list and stuff. Like, this is Black Mask who sent me the We Can Never Go Home, which number 4 came out today. Was awesome. And then I saw a tweet with a picture saying it'll return in 2016 because there's only one more issue. And I'm like, I don't want this to end. This has been so good. So it's good. I was really happy to know there was going to be more. So I tweeted to him last night, but the only reason I took it home to read it, they all came bagged, and even more weirdly boarded in the back, even though it was this big thick thing, you'd never board anyway. But the board covered the barcode in the back. So it was just one of those little annoying things. I'm like, why would you do that? So I took it home to see, you know, what's so bad in here? What are you doing? What's so bad in here that... no, that might have not closed because of it. Okay. What was so bad that they had to bag all of them? Well, I got an email the next day saying, you know, we goofed. A small portion of the print run was supposed to be bagged for a specific retailer, probably Barnes & Noble or somebody. Because there was some nudity, there was some sex. I mean, it wasn't anything bad, but no. I can understand.
There was a couple things in there.
Yeah. But nothing. I've seen a lot worse. And an email saying, you know, we're sorry for the inconvenience. This wasn't how it was supposed to be. So I then went and unbagged everything. I'm like, okay. So I unbagged the rest of the ones I had. But I was able to, you know, respond to him, thank him. And they have a special retailer website where we can go and order directly from them at a rate better than Diamond and free shipping. So I ordered more of that. I evened out my We Can Never Go Home numbers because all I have left are 22s. So I fixed that. But it's just nice knowing that where most stores probably don't have access. They didn't get the email from these guys or didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
Didn't respond because...
Oh, it's just a little publisher.
It is. But, you know, the fact that they sent me that... And that's what I tweeted last night. I said, I am so thankful, and it's Ashcan, at Ashcan Press, but it's Matthew Rosenberg who's writing We Can Never Go Home. I said, I'm so happy that you sent me a copy of that and that I read it. I said, this is my favorite book. This was excellent. More 1 through 3 on the way. And he responded back and tweeted. And he says, I'm happy I sent it to you, too. So it's just one of those neat things where, you know, here's a little publisher that I'm now reading everything they put out, or most things, just because it's them. So that's one of the fun things doing this. Like Pop Goes the Icon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything they put out, I will read only because the coloring choice in issue 1 of San Hannibal. You know, it's weird, but... And you guys, I mean, you read everything, well, not, I don't know about everything, but most things Valiant. And, you know, they caught your eye, they caught your attention, which is great. So that's the fun part of doing
this. That cover of Young Terrorist caught my attention.
Yeah, and there are actually, I got a couple of the variants, unknowingly. There was a 1 in 5 and a 1 in 10. But the main one with her sitting there all strapped up.
That was the one that I got. Yeah. And you know, you had it up on the TV while we were sitting here doing the podcast. I looked at it, I was like... That looks really interesting.
Oh, is that when you got it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, just neat.
TV's paying for itself.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, it's paid for, but yeah. It would be nice if it paid for itself. Okay, that's $7 towards the TV. What else you got, Pat?
Nothing. Josh, what'd you read?
1872. Number 2?
Running out of books.
Well, you can,
and you got another, one. There's another one on your list. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
This issue was kind of crazy.
But my problem with it is there is nothing in this book that is Secret Wars. It is
It
is, but I'm saying there's no reason this wasn't just an Elseworld story.
It's like half the Secret Wars books.
It is. And so that's what
I
gets me
coming from Saints
where
of
I'm
problem.
Going, there's Battle World books, there's War Zone books, there's Last Days books. But none of them are marked on the cover. The Last Days are, but like Magneto this week was the Last Days. But War Zones and Battle Zones aren't marked, designated on the cover, and this isn't. I enjoyed it a lot, but it's essentially not even a what if, it's more of an Elseworlds.
Yeah.
Take your characters into a completely different setting. And it's great. You know, you have Warmonger, you know, you have Tony Stark, who's the weapon manufacturer, it's the Civil War. He's there to show off his Gatling gun. They're like, oh, yeah, well, we didn't warn the other side.
Yeah,
we're going to show off by annihilating this entire
division. He's thinking that by providing the army with the Gatling gun, that they would threaten the other side and say, we have these weapons, you don't stand a chance, and it's done. But the side he backed decided to just turn into a massacre.
Yeah, and that's when he started. And then he even says, I think I'll take that refreshment now. And the next scene, he's drinking in the bar.
So it's really showing all of the hero characters kind of down and out in this town.
Yeah, well, down and out, and like Steve Rogers is the sheriff, but obviously everything is so corrupt he doesn't have a chance.
Down and finally just is fed up. You have Banner who doesn't really stand up to anyone.
No, wishy-washy.
Who's a drunk.
But at least tried to
do something. I like how they introduced Black Widow. They showed a character. And she's wearing this black dress, and she's yelling at Rogers about how, you know, he caused her to become
a widower.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, see, you, I was saw her as, like, that. Working in a brothel or something.
And then
like,
you find out.
That's how we always assume.
Yeah. Oh, was that Mrs. Barnes?
You find out
okay,
that she
got
was,
that, yeah.
She was Bucky Barnes' wife.
Right, yeah.
Who's now widowed and
right.
out for revenge. And
Deputy
she blames,
Barnes.
She blames
well, dead,
Steve
yeah.
Rogers for
but,
his death.
And then you had Doc Ock, who had all these mechanical arms shooting guns. But it
couldn't aim for shit.
Yeah, it was really it
See,
was
I'm
really well
like
done.
Wild West.
It was
yeah.
it was really good, and
it was really
it was
good.
Brutal. Like you just had Steve Rogers.
Yeah, he's not. You're like, oh, he gets shot in the back. Oh, he'll
well,
be okay.
First he, be okay. he blows a hole right in Doc Ock's head.
Yeah, yeah. Saying I only need because the one guy was joking. You know, Doc Ock, you need to learn how to aim. You wouldn't waste all these bullets.
Yeah.
And he's like, bullets are cheap. And then Captain America shoots him in the head, going, "No, aiming. Aiming is important."
Yeah,
only need one.
Yeah, and
the fate of Steve Rogers was telegraphed from a mile away. The
yeah.
second he started monologuing with,
yeah.
But
when he got shot, you're like, "Okay,
yeah.
they're not really going to kill him." No, and then Kingpin comes up and throws him in the pig pen,
and
the pigs start
eating
him. And it's like they don't really show it. You see the pigs and ears
yeah.
and stuff, but
and
you know what's going on. Yeah. You know what's going on.
And then at that point, you can see that's where they're galvanizing the other people in the town to kind of band together. And
And Red Wolf escaped with the help of Black Widow.
Yeah.
But again, nothing to do with, you know, it was literally
nothing
to do with Secret Wars at all.
It doesn't even feel like it could be part
no,
of Secret Wars.
No, it doesn't. Not at all. Not at all. Again, not a bad thing, but one of those things where, okay, why does this exist, though?
Yeah.
So
but it was good.
No, it was very enjoyable. The art was good, especially because that wasn't the original artist. But I thought the art was very good.
It wasn't.
No, it was supposed to be Doc Shaner.
Oh, okay.
And so I don't know what came up, but he couldn't commit to this. But like, yeah, I want to know what the fortune said at the end. But it basically had it was like message in a bottle moment for Tony Stark, where he smashes the bottle and gets to work. It was good. It was very good. And that's what I'd love to see 12 issues of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I feel some of the Secret Wars thing, while it's too long and I want my regular books back, for a lot of this, I'd love to see how a lot of these play out. I'd love to see Secret Wars be a 12 issue. Let's see more of the development, more of the way the Thors work together. We didn't even...
There's still time for them to add 3 more issues.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, even like the bad guys who were on the raft,
what are
they doing? There's a lot of potential there that I think by taking over their whole line limited them in that they couldn't do a two-year story of that, where this might be nice something on the side if they could have
done
a little
side,
more.
Like project of where kind of like where DC is continuity doesn't matter so much. You can tell a story like
have like a six
like almost like how they did Spider-Man Reign. Remember that story where it was like a future story? You can tell those stories and issues. Why not? What's limiting them?
Or have their own little like side imprint or something?
Yeah,
and I think that would have been neat. That's
really good.
But who knows what they're going to do? But some of these now I haven't read a ton of them, and a couple of them that I read that I'll talk about.
But you'd rather them not take
I
over your
I don't know
entirety.
Why it exists, other than I honestly have no idea. Well, here I'll go into that, not to jump on you, but Howard the Human I read, and it was there. It was neat. Jim Mahfood, really crazy art, but basically it's a human in a world of all the animals. But they're all, the lizard's really a lizard. The vulture's really a vulture. It just kind of playing that. And it's like a little bit of a detective thing. The possum was supposedly killed, and he's trying to figure out who killed him.
Possum.
But he wasn't really killed. Ha ha. It just... it was fine, but it was one of those... If I spent $4 on it, I probably would have been... Okay, what was the point of this?
Was he in the Peter Porker universe, or is it like Spider-Man?
I don't know enough to tell
that
you.
That would work.
I don't know. But like he runs into Matt Murdock, who's a mouse, a blind mouse, who's also the lawyer, and he takes out the hand, which are ninja monkeys.
I think you've sold Adam on this book.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't bad, but it was just kind of one of those
ninja monkeys.
Okay,
I mean,
and what did this have to do with Secret Wars as a whole, or is it just? Hey, we can do whatever we want. I don't know. Hank, I'm going to blow one. This is one that came out today. But Hank Johnson, Agent of Hydra, is basically just about an agent of Hydra. And it starts off with he's standing with another guy guarding a thing, and Nick Fury jumps in and kicks him in the head, knocks him out, and shoots his partner. And he gets home. He's like, "Oh man, what a horrible day!
Why
I got
didn't
they
just use Hydra Bob for that? That would have been perfect."
I think they did make reference to him, but and then you know, so he's like, and it's the next morning, and the wife's saying we really need to get a nanny, and he's like, "No, I can handle the." You know, it's just like a day in the life thing.
That's kind of a neat idea.
It was a very neat idea, but has absolutely nothing to do with Secret Wars. Yeah. Zero zilch. The fact it was Nick Fury maybe shows it's out of time, but it also could have been a file story.
Yeah.
You know, it was cute. It was clever. There were a lot of neat things in it, but just one of those. The only reason I got it was because I was getting all Secret Wars tie-ins because I love the event. Mm-hmm. I'd read it and go, there was no purpose for that. You know, you want each book to serve some sort of purpose.
And it didn't really make it.
They didn't do a convergence style thing, because if I had to read all that Secret Wars stuff that had nothing to do with the main title, I'd get a little.
And it's funny because people said, "Oh, why didn't I do a package?" I'm like, because we're still getting books introduced.
Yeah, you can't.
Just last month, I ordered the Secret Wars Agents of Atlas. You know, so I, without knowing. Back when this started, where I would have done that back in April.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't tell us everything, so I couldn't.
Yeah, I didn't think that was coming. But you don't want to take in your regular books off the shelf, though, too. Because it could have done the same thing without taking your regular books off the shelf.
Okay. Go ahead, Josh. I'll talk about the next one you're going to talk about, too. Well, I'm not being psychic, but I have a feeling.
No, I'm not going to talk about that one next.
Okay.
So, Rye, number 9. So, Rye's been on a bit of a hiatus between arcs. So a recap of what's been going on in this book. Rye takes place 4,000 years into the future in the Valiant universe, and New Japan is essentially this Cloud City-esque space station above a desolate Earth, and the New Japan is run by what's called Father, and we found out that Father is just these sentient, it's called Live Wire, but for all intents and purposes, like these sentient, nanites or, tech fluid kind of thing. And it's completely infused the entire, New Japan, and his enforcer is Rye. And we found out through the, previous issues that this is actually the 10th version of Rye, and all previous versions of Rye have kind of, gotten to a point where they found out a certain piece of their history and gone, berserk. And each, reiteration of Rye is supposedly, a bit better than the previous one. So this version of Rye, starts going that same path and finds out, some of his history and becomes involved in this, leading this revolution to try and, take New Japan back from Father. And in the end of issue 8, Father creates another Rye, Rye 11, and this time puts, his consciousness into...
I was saying Rai K. Right. Yeah, like Ninja K.
And puts, his actual, consciousness into Rai 11, so that way it's him, the embodiment of him, and not just, his enforcer. And ends up, handing Rai his ass in a, big, epic, showdown, and sends Rai down to this, desolate planet Earth, and then Rai finds out that it's not quite what Father's been telling people has been over the years, that it's not this, radiation filled wasteland. It's a wasteland because New Japan is keeping it that way. And the geomancer of this time was introduced in the previous issue, and we found out that Father's been keeping her captive in this, in the lower, bowels of New Japan, and using her to try and, keep Earth from recovering and help direct all of this, for lack of a better term, solar waste to the planet. So all the, waste from the energy that's being used to fuel New Japan is being sent on this focus beam to Earth, which helps, keep this scorched Earth and prevents people from New Japan from looking at that as an alternative to, leave and go there. So that way it keeps them in Father's, control. So this issue, it's a pretty slow issue, considering it's been, several months since the previous arc ended, but it's going around showing where all the, key players have been, what's happened to them and where they're at now as it's, building on this new arc. So we see Rye on the planet's surface, and he's, pretty brutally, beaten up and mangled, and most of his power is gone because he doesn't have his connection to New Japan anymore.
And we see Spylock, who is one of the characters with the Revolution, being tortured for information, and where the GM answers that. And it was, they said slow, but it was still, it's good. It's setting up, you know, a lot of characterization for these different characters, and it's crafting a pretty good story for where it's going to go next. We see, you know, Ryan counter some, you know, natives are still living on the Earth surface, and they immediately attack him, thinking he's just, you know, someone from New Japan coming down to take something from them or attack them. And he gets into a fight with them, but you can see, I don't think he killed them exactly, and it looks like they're left wondering, you know, what exactly he is and, you know, what the deal is with them. And they take him back to where the ones are, that were still around, take him back to, I guess, their encampment to, I'm assuming at some point he has to use them in some way to, I don't know, I guess to get back to New Japan. I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, in a previous issue, we saw an older version of Rai that was also living down there. So these characters we saw, I thought they were with that previous version of Rai. So I'm not sure in this issue why they were so taken aback by, you know, his presence. Not really sure what the deal was with them. But I don't know, it's good. It was just a bit slow for how long of a hiatus it was on. Secret Six, number 5. So this issue kind of finally gets back on track with, you know, the pacing of this book. The book was kind of plagued with the issues being mixed up a little bit. Ken Lashley was on art, and he had some, I guess, some medical issues recently. So
didn't he go to Marvel now?
He's on Marvel now, but he had some medical issues that caused delays in his work, so issues got released out of order. So issue 3 actually took place after issue 4, and it kind of made the story a bit confusing. But issue 5, you know, finally gets things back on track, and we see some of the characters finally, you know, find out there's more to the character Big Shot than, you know, they originally thought. We found out in a previous issue that Big Shot was working for Mockingbird, and Mockingbird was the Riddler. Well, this issue finally lets on that Big Shot is who people were suspecting to be, which is Ralph Dibny.
Oh.
And they find out that that's who he is because Catman sees a picture in Big Shot's bedroom of his wife that he's been saying is dead, and it was actually, you know, Sue Dibny, who was working for Mockingbird and helping to torture, you know, Catman whenever he was captured and imprisoned for, you know, a full year. So Big Shot, or Dibny, starts to, you know, tell them how they're all connected. And at one point, you know, before all this happened, they were all on this, you know, yacht where Riddler had this, you know, precious diamond that he stole, and he's bringing everyone there to show off his new prize. And some of them were there to try and steal what Catman was there working security. Dibny was there as a detective trying to break the case. Yeah. And throughout, you know, their time there, something happened. All the lights went out, and someone stole the diamond, and Riddler blamed these, you know, 6 people that were left on the boat after everyone else took off. And I guess that's what leads into him capturing them and torturing, bringing together this Secret Six team. So it looks like, you know, Dibny's coming clean with all of them and telling them the backstory, and that you're going to go confront Mockingbird, but he's leading them into a trap and takes them to be essentially captured by Riddler, who is a much more crazy and maniacal Riddler than we've seen in other books. Like, he's not just, you know, the quirky, you know, riddle crazy that he's been, but, like, actually seems true psychopath crazy in this book. But it's good. The new artist, Eaglesham.
Well, I think he drew it earlier, or there was something he did earlier. Dale Eaglesham.
Yeah.
This is one I want to. I read the first 2 and was just lost as can be.
This and is starting to, like, bring things together now. You're getting to see some other characters who were part of, you know, previous.
Yeah, I saw Black Alice on the cover.
Black Alice is there. Scandal Savage is there.
Okay.
There's a really creepy
ragdoll,
depiction in the book, but it's good. It's every issue it's getting better. Ragdoll was in that arc in Batgirl, like a couple year and a half ago or so.
Yeah,
and this is Gil Simone as well. Yeah,
yeah.
But the way Ragdoll is drawn, and it's really really creepy. And then Book of Death number 2.
Hey, I read that.
Yeah, I figured I'd save it for last. So this issue, what's going on with Book of Death is nothing groundbreaking. It's superheroes fighting superheroes.
What?
So,
but I loved how I liked how he did fight.
The way it worked is great. So you have superheroes fighting superheroes. Essentially, their Eternal Warrior has this young Geomancer that his future self sent back in time at the end of the Valiant event. So she's out of time, and all these different, massacres involving the Earth are taking place, and they think it's this girl who is from a future and can't control her powers. So the Unity team is trying to get her back from Glaude and
bring her back. Because they think that she's doing all the bad things.
She's causing, they want to get her back into, their facility so that way they can monitor her and try to prevent this from happening. He's trying to, convey to them that she's not causing this, that they need to trust him, or else more people are going to die. So they all go to, confront him. He's out in the middle of nowhere in this kind of, cabin. And Exo Manowar and then Ninjak and Livewire come to try and take her from him. And you really get to see how much more of a tactician he is compared to the rest of the team. The rest of the team focuses on, their individual strengths and, brute force. But he, being around as long as he has and having the experience he has, really knew how to pick apart all of these different characters, and it shows that he's, possibly really the strongest, one on this team of, super beings. And the part that I like the most is they keep mentioning this, corrupted Geomancer, and it looks like this kid, the corrupted Geomancer, is actually causing all this, is who should have taken the role of Geomancer after K. McHenry got killed in the Valiant. But he is being manipulated by a character we haven't seen in Divine Universe for a little while since Shadow Man ended its run, Master Dark, who is kind of this really badass, like, voodoo mystic kind of guy. When we saw him in Shadow Man, he was in the dead world trying to get back into the world of the living. And I guess, I can't remember if the end of Shadow Man, if he got back out, but something happened. He's out now and manipulating this kid to try and get rid of this future Geomancer so that way they can have full control over the powers involving the Earth. But it was good. Like, it takes something that's been done several times and did it in a way that was still a lot of fun and interesting. And that's it for me. Did you like it, Colin?
I did. And now, I didn't know, the big reveal. Yeah. I'm like, okay. I didn't know who that was. I like the fight. I like the fact that Ninjak modified his sword so that he could take down Exo.
And then
Glaude took down him first, got his sword, and then used the swords to take down Exo. That was just neat way of doing it. Because basically it looks like he's just a guy there in shabby clothes and a big axe. Mm-hmm. But he was able to take out a robot and Livewire, who's got...
Sure, connections to machines.
Yeah, and because that's why his thing was in the middle of nowhere. But no, I thought it was very interesting. I'm still a little lost, but that's okay.
The other Star Wars book last week was Canon, The Last Padawan,
yes,
number 5. Did you read that, Adam?
Yeah,
it was in his notes, but
But it's
it
been,
wasn't my notes.
It's been that's
what I said.
It's been a good story.
Around,
it's been a good story. His Kanan's real name is Caleb Doom, and he's been hanging out with the smuggler. And in this issue they were captured by two clone troopers that were their former allies. And I thought it was interesting because you get to see, the troopers, trying to resist Order 66.
Yeah.
And Caleb, trying to talk them out of out of Order 66, and we never saw that before, so I thought that was really interesting.
He was trying to fight it. What's his name, Caleb, in this?
Yeah, his real name's Caleb Doom.
He was trying to tell both of them. He was just like, you remember this. You really like the Jedi Master, and you were learning from her, and this and that. Yeah. This isn't you, and one of them broke free. Only one of them broke free just enough.
Yeah.
That he was just like, you know, we did. What was up with that? And, you know, he turned it completely against them, and they actually went down really easily.
Because I thought that'd be a cool story and take that further out, have a trooper, you know, who resisted it and
now,
tell his story.
Dave, did you watch the Clone Wars cartoon?
I haven't seen every episode, but I've seen some of it.
They had episodes that went on for a while about one of the clone troopers. Basically, the clone troopers had implants in their brain. And what they would do is, when that order was given, that implant would go off. Well, in one of the episodes, it was really neat. They took one of the clone troopers, their implant malfunctioned. And Order 66 happened early. And it wasn't supposed to. And it was a really good episode, but that's where they come from. So basically, they all have implants in their head telling them at some point that was supposed to go off whenever. Because, you know, the Sidious was the one who, in the end, decided to create these clone army. And they just didn't know about it. And then that's why it was implanted into their head. So, yeah, it reminded me of that.
Okay.
Those episodes, this issue, that, you know, that was the case. So it can be broken, and it's only been done a couple of times. This is my surprise book because I didn't really watch the cartoon, and this actually makes me want to go find the episode. But Disney is really hard about like releasing anything to watch like reruns, and I haven't found like, can I buy it before the new season starts or something? This issue, as they go out, he leaves and decides to leave the bounty or the smuggler.
He's a smuggler.
I think he's mainly afraid that he's going to hurt him if he stays with him. Yeah. And he actually developed a fondness. Both of them developed a fondness of each other.
Yeah.
And then he changes his name. He gets rid of the lightsaber.
He decides not to use his lightsaber.
And it's all about the blaster now. And that was kind of an origin story, you know.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be. I thought it was only five issues.
I thought it was only a mini, but it's continuing. It's going to become.
I don't know what it's going to continue as.
I think it's basically continuing as the Star Wars Rebels.
As Rebels, that'd be awesome.
And I think that's what it's going to be. It's just going to mainly focus on this character as that. But it seems like right after it left off, it jumped back, and they were just. I thought it was kind of good because they were like, "Have you ever been on this planet before?" And he's like. He's like, no, what's his name? Cannon? Cannon's never. He said Cannon's never been, Caleb was.
Yeah.
He was on that planet.
Yeah.
And it tells his whole story. And I was like, that was really good writing on their part.
Yeah.
They did a good job on that. That one was really surprising.
Very under the radar.
I highly recommend picking up the trade of that book. Because it was fun.
Yeah, it would be a good trade. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It made me interested in the cartoon. And I said, anything that makes me interested, I said, I'll go watch it. Some of the characters in the cartoon, I was like, yeah, they don't need to exist. But, you know, I understand they're still marketing towards kids. They're marketing towards a lot of girls. And both of those characters I really don't like. Is the young kid who's training, who has the slingshot. He has, like, a laser slingshot in the show.
Right,
and then one of them is, like, a pink Boba Fett. And I was just okay, but we'll see. I mean, the finale of the cartoon completely sold me where they said Darth Vader came into it. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've also brought in Ahsoka. So they've connected Cartoon Network cartoon.
She's the one sending them messages. And
she's another Jedi who's escaped this. So it's kind of cool that they did bring her in. So it tells me that they're putting some thought into it.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. I'll continue.
Nether, I wanted to give some love to the Disney books from IDW. I read, first of all, these are really good values because I counted the number of pages, and it's 34 pages a story for only $3.99.
Huh.
And I read Donald Duck number 4 last week, and it was a nice, that was the main story, and there were two backups. But the main story, it was nice. It had some depth to it. If you like DuckTales or something, It was good. Donald, he meets a philosopher and he decides he's going to get the perfect calm and learn how to be how to achieve the perfect calm in his life. And he goes to the Himalayas, and of course Huey, Dewey, and Louie follow him so he doesn't get in trouble. And when he gets back, Uncle Scrooge decides he's going to monetize this, because anybody gets near Donald also gets the perfect calm. So he starts charging people to be near Donald. And of course, when everybody has a perfect calm, nobody wants to do work or make money, so the economy goes in the toilet. So Uncle Scrooge is screwed. And it was a nice little story, and I really enjoyed it.
I've been picking up I picked up a few of those. I picked up the Uncle Scrooge book, which it was fun. It reminded you of the old stuff. And then I picked up Donald Duck number one, mainly because I love the variant cover. I think that was that the subscription variant, the incentive? They had two covers.
They have two covers for all of them, yeah.
Okay. And one of them I really liked, which it was like he was jumping through frames and then you could see in the background or through panels.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were talking about it in the panels, like Huey, Dewey, and Louie were talking about how he jumped out. And it was just a cool cover. So they've had really cool covers for those books, too.
Yeah, like I said, it's a great value too for a lot of pages for what's now the regular price, $3.99. That's all I read. Everything else was talked about.
Oh. Great job, Colin.
Hey, I'm down to two.
No,
and I know neither of them.
Adam talked about most of my books.
Oh, great job, Adam. Archie.
Way to go.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, the only one I have that wasn't discussed was Wonder Woman 43.
Josh, you didn't get that? Else,
No.
Okay. Well, I won't.
I did not get that.
Are you going to, or you're just not?
No. I don't like the current creative team on it.
I may drop out of it, too. I'm not sure. I mean, it's nothing, I don't know, fantastic. I mean, it's kind of, the main part of this one, it focuses a lot on Deanna Troi, I guess, who's her sister, who's like, in previous issues, in prison somewhere in Olympus for some unspecified horrible things.
I was just thinking Star Trek when he said that.
But
it's Donna Troi, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Donna.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Deanna is the counselor from Star Trek.
Yeah.
Could catch.
Is that Return of the Jedi?
Oh, that was just a slip.
So anyway, so she escapes from jail. I don't know whether or not she escapes or someone helps her out kind of thing. But so basically then, Wonder Woman's going to go looking for her. And, she's kind of always a step behind. And, Donna ends up in London where apparently the Fates live. And, they have the threads of everybody's life kind of thing. So she wants them to cut her thread and just kind of end it all. And they're basically like, well, we can't see your thread, so we don't, so she leaves, and then something I'm kind of confused with what happens, but between her leaving and Wonder Woman showing up, the Fates somehow get killed, or at least allegedly are killed, and then, while Wonder Woman's looking around, this Aegeus guy, who was in previous episodes, or previous issues, rather, who's at least a demigod, if not some kind of full god, shows up, and he's got some kind of beef with Wonder Woman, but I don't really know what that is yet at this point. But so she's not happy to see him because he keeps showing up in inopportune times, and he shoots her with an arrow and nails her in the shoulder, so that doesn't make her happy either. And that's kind of where it ends, and he takes off. So I guess he pissed her off enough that he left. So that was pretty much all that happened in that one. And
how long have you been reading this book?
I'm only like three issues in, so it's kind of.
Have they been getting better?
He said he's getting ready.
Sure if I'm gonna.
Oh yeah, true.
But
it's still the Finch.
My Finch is
the Finches on.
He said he would get dropped because he feared you, because he could feel the tension. He was just like, oh, yeah, I'm dropping it.
He wasn't here whenever I really had a
tantrum
about it. Oh God.
Yeah.
So. No, I mean, so being just a couple issues in all of the, the DC characters, I'm not emotionally vested in any of them, I guess, at this point too much. But, I do like the Justice League, although I'm much more confused than anybody else at the table here because of my lack of history with, you know, outside of the big six or seven Justice mm-hmm. League characters. I mean, I don't know most
yeah.
of the villains.
Well, that's okay.
You know, Colin can help you get familiar with those.
I can.
I'm sure he
can.
Could,
yeah.
So.
He's
it's my job. I'm your tour guide. So.
But of the DC books, I mean, that one's, you know, for a bit of a neophyte, I mean, that one seems the most, you know, has grabbed me the most, I guess, in just three issues, kind of. So anyway, because that was the only other one I read this week.
Oh, okay. I read two more. I read a bunch. But Welcome Back is from Boom, and...
Mr. Carter.
You know, it is, but it's neat. The way they drew it is the L is in a different color, and it also basically it's Welcome Back, or it could also be We Come Back. Because basically what the story is about is it's these warriors, these
like
two
sixes all over again.
These two people who fight. No. These two people who fight, like they're these warriors, and, you know, so we meet again, and the one kills the other one, then he kills himself, and this repeats over history. And it's this girl is in this, starting off this one. I don't remember specifically what her situation is, but all of a sudden things start going weird. I think her dad was a serial killer and she's trying to like escape that. Everybody knowing about it, you know, trying to move to a different town, stuff like that. And then weird stuff starts happening. And all of a sudden she starts remembering that she is this warrior and, stuff goes on, you start finding out, you know, the other one is becoming aware, too, and so they're clearly going to fight. And then it turns out that her father was reincarnated as well as, like, this little girl who's waiting in her apartment when she gets home. It was just really...
Creepy.
That part was more comedy, but, yeah, it was definitely different. It's a storyline, ideas, things I haven't really read, so that was pretty cool. And then the last one, I have a special. There's going to be a special bonus feature for podcast listeners. Yes. Ooh. So this next one is Oxymoron, Loveliest Nightmare number one.
But who listened?
Now, this is from... this is another one of those companies where I responded to an email. A company called Comics Tribe. They've done a couple other books called Standard and Red 10.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? And Then Emily Was Gone. I think that was the name of it. So just a little company, I guess I've been on his mailing list, never really paid a ton of attention to his stuff. Like, I've ordered it in. I'd ordered stuff in direct from him. It was neat. I contacted him one time, and he sent me some stuff. And I'm like, okay, you know, how much do I owe you? He's like, don't worry about it. You know, so he sent me, you know, like, free samples to put on the shelf and stuff. And I remember I got a customer from another store who came here and was impressed that I had that on the shelf and actually, like, tweeted them or something, messaged them. And mm-hmm. I remember he actually emailed me, hey, thanks for, you know, having my stuff on your shelf. It's like, cool. But Oxymoron is like the bad guy in this universe. He's kind of like it's almost very much like Nemesis. It's like a very Joker-esque type bad guy.
Is it like the white
face? Yeah, the white face. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not in it a ton, but basically something has happened to this one detective. And she has some weird medical condition. I didn't quite get all that. But basically, if she doesn't take her meds that she didn't know she needed to at this time when this bad event happened, it basically, like, locks her up. And she can't move. And her partner was murdered right in front of her. And she couldn't do anything about it. Well, now she's finally come back through after psychological stuff. She's been demoted back to patrolman and stuff. And they go to... There's a call. She's got a brand new partner because no one wants to partner with her. And she's a real peppy, happy girl, and she's just a miserable person right now. And it's a jumper, so they go to stop the jumper. When they get up there, she's saying, you know, trying to talk him down. He turns around, he's got the mask on, but it's not him.
Okay.
It's like he said, if I don't do this, they'll kill my family, and then he jumps. So other stuff is going on. You know, she's getting screamed at, you know, you should have waited for backup, blah, blah, blah. You know, she's being blamed for all this. They can't get the mask off. It's so attached to his face, so they don't know who the guy is. So as they go through everything, the chief of police is doing a sting on the mayor because they found some stuff and they're like, they have his, like, his home surrounded and the guys are going in. Well, then just at the same time they're doing this autopsy and they get the results back, and actually the person, the jumper, was the mayor. So it's been a setup, and all of a sudden the house explodes and everybody's getting killed, and it ends with Oxymoron, the bad guy, calling the cop, who's not there, but calling her and talking to her on the phone because he was the one who killed her partner when she couldn't move. And he's just taken out all the people, including the chief of police. So really good. Really, you know, neat book. There was a lot going on in it. It was really neat. Now, the special deal is, because this was one where I had responded to, he did a blog post about how to get into comic book stores, and I basically just responded back to him. I said, I really like what you had to say, but here's some other things you might want to think about. And little things like, don't call a store Wednesday at noon. You know, just little things that a lot of people do that just aren't, you know, don't just send an email and expect it to get responded to because people are going to miss it, or, you know, when to send it, stuff like that. Yeah. So he, they've done a lot. Like, they had a thing where if I ordered two of their hardcovers really cheap, then I got some extra stuff. So I have a box of neat stuff behind the counter. So I was able to get the books cheap. I was, and it was like, we have 1,000 available cheap. If you want them, let us know how many you want. So I got in 25. So it's a $4 book, but what I'll do to all podcast listeners is it'll be half off. So just mention you heard about it on the podcast, $2. It's a really good book.
How about podcasters?
Yes. Yes. And are you listening to the podcast, Adam?
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, he's not listening, or he wouldn't have asked the question.
So $2, just come in, say you heard about it on the podcast. We'll do a little bizarre, crazy marketing here. So those are the last two that I have. But yeah, it was good. It was different. Like, if you like Nemesis, you'll probably like this. And again, just another one of those small guys. I like supporting the little guys. I'm definitely, in my old age, taking those chance, you know, reading, those are the ones I'm kind of picking out more to read, as opposed to Civil War or Old Man Logan. I'm looking for something different. So,
speaking of different, it's coming out next
what's
week.
Coming out next week, Pat?
You're struggling at them now. Okay. That wasn't as good as the other ones.
Yeah, well, okay.
We're off for game.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. I'm ready. Okay. Let's go.
Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies 4, Adam's favorite, yeah. Although he wanted it.
Did I just get that?
Well, you said it was House of M versus
Zombies.
I'm next to them. What?
But here's another one for you. Aliens versus Vampirella, number one. Because you demanded it.
Did I? When did I do this?
Batman Beyond number 4, Broken World number 4. That was for Rich, who walked away. That's the last issue of that. Interested to see where that one's going.
Yeah, that's not
good. Danger Girl Renegade. The Danger Girl stuff sells quite well. Daredevil number 18, the last issue forever. DC Comics Bombshells, getting my replacement Catwoman statue. You know, I just needed the helmet. Deadpool versus Thanos number 1, because you demanded it. And I am getting 20 copies of the Deadpool versus Thanos Age of Ultron coloring mini poster.
Coloring
Minerva.
You demanded what, that.
You demanded it.
I am a sucker for a coloring book.
Detective 44. Dying in the Dead, number 3, finally. That's been a while. Well, yeah, I ordered this in January. Yeah, it's been a while. Evil Dead 2, number 2, and Evil Dead Tales of the Ex-Mortis, number 2. Yeah, you wouldn't want to spread those out, guys. Figment 2, number 1. I'll know all about Figment soon enough. Future Imperfect number 5. Now, I don't know if that's the last issue or not. Green Arrow 44, Green Lantern 44. I do know this is the start of the Green Lantern variants. And I know I definitely ordered more extra of the Green Arrow Green Lantern only because it's done by Neil Adams. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Groot number 4, which apparently is continuing on with no interruption by Secret Wars. It didn't get a number
books?
One. Yeah, it didn't get a number one.
I am Groot.
House of M2.
Alrighty.
Like an afterthought. Yeah. Imperium 8, Josh. Jimbo Jones, one shot. I ordered five. I honestly have. I did.
Oh, really?
Simpsons.
Not,
that's Simpsons.
Is it? Oh, yeah. It's Simpsons. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, why did I order five of this?
Why did Jones get it? Is that bully?
Jupiter Circle number six. I think that finally wraps it up.
The mind of a bully.
Yeah. Right.
Miracle Man by Gaiman and Buckingham, starting the reprints of those. Mockingbird Shield 50th Anniversary number one,
Sweet.
Which had an interesting thing on Bleeding Cool, because the writer is a TV writer, doesn't know all the things. She mentioned that she had to take out Hawkeye and put in the guy from the TV show, and was getting a lot of notes from, quote, the studio, because that's how they refer it to it.
Oh, for, I mean, yeah. Hunter.
Yeah, it's Hunter instead of Hawkeye. Plutona, number one, that's a Jeff Lemire, I think Andy Watson Image book.
See, they come out with shit like yeah, 4 years earlier. They could have gotten Jeremy Renner on the show.
Yeah.
Silk, number seven, Silver Surfer, number 14, Spider Island 3, Squadron Sinister, number 3. See, here's what I don't get, though. Like, Spider Island says 3 of 5, but Squadron Sinister is just 3,
yeah,
not of. It's like...
Well, now that they've stretched out to 9 issues,
yeah,
maybe they'll get a 6th one in.
Well, that's my question about that. Is that, are they going to extend these, or is it just going to now kind of, these are going to slide to fill the gap?
Get out.
Are they writing yeah, as if they're like, I'm not sure if it will be, but yeah, we'll write a story and fill it in.
Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde, number 3. Thor's, number 3. Toil and Trouble, number 1, which I think is a Boom book. And then We Stand on Guard, number 3. So it's kind of a lighter week.
Doesn't feel like a lighter week.
Well, just number wise.
Kind of like this week. Oh, it's a light week. No, it isn't.
And then I have like 10 pounds of books.
Yes.
Like, oh. Yeah, light for you, I guess.
No, it's still my normal number, but yeah, it's just weird.
But where can they find you, Tom?
They can find me at, I'm all over the place now, but on Facebook at Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter at PGH Comics, Instagram at PGH Comics. I've had so many books coming in lately, and I've had an email about someone bringing me books and a phone call with lots of old books, including some from the 80s, all in perfect shape. So that was the phone call today. So, but I try to post pictures of the fun stuff that's been coming in. Website just pittsburghcomics.com, curated by Josh.
It's good work.
I'm not allowed to touch it anymore. So,
well, last time you touched it recently, you kind of broke a lot of things.
Well, I didn't touch it. I just
he typed
yeah,
it.
I know, no.
But gave someone else permission.
I gave someone
it,
else. You're right, right. It was bad touch.
Everything got
yes,
broken.
Yeah.
Good touch or bad touch?
Bad touch.
Bad touch.
It
was through you, though.
And then you can always find me at the store.
Yeah,
always, except for Sunday and Monday.
Right.
Nobody's eating
although I'm losing my Sunday and Monday guy, so I got to figure out something there. So if you want to work Sunday and Monday, let me know.
You just
come on, come on, really think that through.
You think announcing
hold
the
on,
podcast?
Hold on. Let's.
So, well, I figured that was better than posting it on the website. I didn't.
You think it's worse than me just pointing to Adam?
Well, but it's Adam.
He's not getting his books put away.
Well, yeah, well.
How would
story
that be different
life,
than, I mean, look at the back where you're supposed
yeah,
to put books.
Yeah, your department.
Okay. His department.
My department?
It is. That's
no,
it. Your department. I said, can
wait,
you please organize
wait,
the overstock?
I can't believe you
Adam
gave him a department.
Adam's middle management here?
No. Adam has an
he
area
an
that I asked him to focus on and take control of. And
asking
he likes sitting in the chair.
To focus is not a wise idea.
I know.
Get a chair with wheels on it.
I have a chair with wheels on it.
It's a stool.
So yeah, I'm not getting an office chair for him to roll around in.
And also, what? That chair is always occupied anyway. So.
What?
Yeah.
What?
For a
the
week.
Stool?
Yeah.
Oh, when I was doing inventory. Okay. See? Starting to understand. Well, I mean, I wouldn't be here, so it might work. No. I wouldn't do that to the customers. Cruel and unusual.
Yeah.
So... we'll talk to you next week. Good Lord, this was a long one.
I know, right? Let's get
2.5 hours. Sorry. I apologize. He already said it, so it doesn't matter. So we'll talk to you next week. See ya.
I didn't even realize. Fast.
faster than a bullet, leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, all I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The infinity watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. My ruby quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society studio is Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take you back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drift's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Drop the beat out. I'm gonna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody'll save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm blonde when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up